the elders of our community, men and women who've led commendable lives. After working hard, raising families, serving their communities, and some serving our country, many find their safety and well-being is at risk. They risk losing their health, independence, and becoming vulnerable to many forms of abuse. The good news is we can all make a difference. Shining Care presents Lunch and Learn, September 25th in Reading and 26th in Anderson. Enjoy a complimentary lunch while you learn from the experts. Hear about and participate in the planning for California's Master Plan for Aging, Long-Term Care Planning. Get education on Medicare fraud through Senior Medicare Patrol. And hear the pros and cons about choosing your Medicare Advantage plan. It's Shining Care in partnership with Disability Action Center, PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, Life on Medicare, Sherry Duff, and PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, HICAP. Free registration is at shiningcare.org/events or call 530-232-5543.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No, me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro.
Welcome to the Ben Shapiro Show. I am not Ben Shapiro. You can probably tell my voice is a little bit lower. My cadence is certainly much slower. I am, in fact, Michael Knowles. Good to be with all of you. Love filling in for Ben. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast, at Daily Wire Plus, on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, on YouTube, at least most days. Kind of depends on how the censors are feeling that day. You can find me all over the place at Michael J. Knowles. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, just came out and said that there is one tier of justice in this country, and it's for everybody else, everybody, not everybody else, that we think that there are two tiers of justice for the favored people and for everybody else. But he insists this is not the case. And I got to give Garland credit. What he lacks in integrity as a law enforcement officer, he certainly makes up for in acting talent, because he told the Congress that with a completely straight face. And yet we've seen the FBI slow walk the Hunter Biden investigation. We've seen the DOJ sweetheart deal that the prosecutors tried to hand to Hunter Biden. We've seen the spying on Catholic churches. We've seen the DOJ, the FBI lying about spying on Catholic churches. And we've seen the memos from other field offices. We've seen scandal after scandal after scandal. And I am now joined by Thomas J. Baker, someone with 33 years of experience as an FBI special agent and the author of The Fall of the FBI. Mr. Baker, wonderful to have you on. Thank you for joining.
Good to be with you, Michael.
So, Thomas, I take it from the title of your book, I know your perspective, but you've at least got a lot more uphand experience than I do with the FBI and the DOJ. One of the topics that people sometimes debate is, have things gotten particularly bad at the FBI and at the Justice Department, or have things kind of always been this way and we're just noticing now?
No, Michael, it always hasn't been this way. What's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, some of the items you already mentioned, is a result of a profound change in culture at the FBI, which was begun by Bob Mueller of special counsel fame, when he initially became director, and was exacerbated by the poor leadership of James Comey.
So you had Mueller, then Comey. Now we've got Christopher Wray, who's received a lot of flack. Is Wray just maintaining the status quo there? Has he taken the FBI in an even worse direction? Where does he stand?
Well, Mueller created the problem, and Comey demonstrated the problem to us. I think Chris Wray has focused too much, apparently, on individual shortcomings of individual FBI managers and FBI special agents. Well, when each of these things, and you alluded to some of them, have come to light, the FBI has often gotten rid of the malefactors, the miscreants, whatever you want to call them. You can just simply call them the bad apples. And essentially, Christopher Wray, reporting to Congress, and when he speaks to groups, including groups of former agents like myself, he tells us that the bad apples are now gone. When the Durham report came out last year, which was scathing, absolutely scathing, And Durham said in it, there's a continuing need for the FBI to be reminded of these shortcomings. Chris Wray's response was, none of the people who had anything to do with this are gone. And he's right. The major bad actors, starting at the top with Comey, McCabe, Strzok, they're all gone out the door. And each time something has happened, some of the bad apples are out the door. What Chris Wray has to look at, what the DOJ and the FBI have to look at, and several of us have been urging this, is the fundamental shift in culture that Bob Mueller started. That has to be reversed. The FBI has to get back to its roots in law enforcement, not this intelligence, freewheeling intelligence that has led to so many of these problems.
So what was the shift in culture? I think you probably alluded to it there at the end, but a lot of people will say, well, Mueller, he was a kind of Republican figure, you know, he's not some far left radical. So how did he change the culture at the FBI?
Michael, here's precisely what happened, and I explain this in great detail in my book. Mueller became the director of the FBI only 2 or 3 days before the September 11th attacks, which happened on a Tuesday. The following Saturday morning, September 15th, he was summoned to a meeting in Camp David, Maryland by President George W. Bush. Mueller had with him the report of the FBI's investigation of those attacks, which the FBI codenamed Pent Bomb for Pentagon, Pennsylvania bombings. And in the 3.5 days that elapsed between the attack on Tuesday and that early Saturday morning, the FBI had done what it does best, investigate. And they had identified all 19 hijackers, their financing, their travel, their associates, their contacts and connections going back to Al-Qaeda. And Mueller presented this report expecting praise and thanks. And he's told us this several times. Instead, as he finished, George Bush just turned to him and looked and said, I don't care about that. I just want to know how you're going to prevent the next one. Mueller said he walked out of that meeting bound and determined to change the culture of the FBI. And that's the word he used, culture. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make it, get it away from the law enforcement mindset and make it into an intelligence agency. Now, some would say there might have been some justification or reason for that at the time in this crisis. But the fact of the matter is that change had unintended consequences, and we see now very bad consequences. I wrote the book, and I've been advocating this, and I'm not the only one, that the culture has to be restored. And it has to be restored because the present situation threatens the liberties of Americans, because you have a police agency, the FBI, now with this injection of intelligence, these new people, intelligence analysts, they come up with these free-ranging ideas. That's fine in the CIA. You're an overseas service and you can speculate as to what might happen in this or that circumstance. But you can't shift that model over and put it into the FBI, an organization with police power. It's too dangerous to do that.
Now, looking at the next scandal, finally we've seen Hunter Biden indicted. There was that sweetheart deal that the DOJ tried to cook up to let him off the hook while basically admitting to nothing, or facing at least relatively few consequences. Now, however, he's facing potentially 25 years behind bars on this gun charge, which, as far as I can tell, is the least politically significant crime that they can pin on him. It has nothing to do with failing to register as a foreign agent, has nothing to do with the tax fraud, has nothing to do with any of that. It's because he lied on a form at a gun shop. Even that seems kind of crooked to me, and so I just wonder, what do you think the conclusion of that is going to be? Are we going to see Hunter Biden in an orange jumpsuit?
Well, the federal gun charge is very clear-cut and actually very easy to prove. It's a charge that could have been brought forward 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for him to defend against because it's literally a black and white situation. He signed a federal form. He lied in signing a federal document. That's clear cut. And as we saw in the plea deal, he wasn't even disputing this, nor were his attorneys. So that charge could have easily been brought forward 2 or 3 years ago. So effectively, the special prosecutor now, David Weiss, really hasn't made that much progress, because this is a charge that could have been brought forward years ago. You alluded to the Foreign Agents Registration Act. That's another charge that, believe it or not, it's not as clear-cut as the gun charge, but it's relatively easy to prove. Then the elements are all there. He was receiving funds from foreign entities, that had connections to foreign governments. We're talking about China and the Ukraine principally. And he did not register and he did not report that. That's another pretty clear cut charge that could be brought forward. And it'll be a great disappointment if this new special counsel doesn't come forward with at least that charge. Not to even begin talking about all the tax charges that were allowed to fall by the wayside.
There was some talk when Weiss was elevated to special counsel that even the appointment of a special counsel, and certainly of him as the special counsel, was inappropriate. That he was already working within the Biden government, and then he was elevated to this other role. Some Republicans suggested that the only reason that Biden named him special counsel was to limit the possibilities of transparency for the way the Hunter Biden investigation had been conducted up until that point. Do you think there's any water to that?
Well, Michael, absolutely. If any case called for a special counsel, it was the investigation of Hunter Biden, because Hunter Biden is the president's son. Beloved son, as they always point out to us, and the attorney general reports directly to the president. So if ever there was a case that called for a special counsel, it was this one, because very early on in the case, there was always the suspicion or the possibility that there was a connection between Hunter Biden's financing and activities and the president's. And we certainly knew, and the attorney general certainly knew it, or should have known it, that Hunter Biden was flying around the world on Air Force Two when his father was vice president. So there should have always been a special counsel. Now, finally, very belatedly, after this sweetheart plea deal blows up on them, who do they appoint? David Weiss. Now, you can make the argument, which they're making, that David Weiss knows more about this case than anybody else, or he should. But at the same time, he didn't take the appropriate action. Somebody else probably would have looked a lot better had somebody else been appointed.
What is your take on the claim that, as corrupt as the agency has become, as awful as the culture has become, there are still lots of good, normal, conservative, red-blooded American patriots in the FBI? It's just the political leadership that's gone sour. I've also then heard, and I've got friends who've worked for the FBI, that actually a lot of agents have quit because things have gotten so bad in recent years. And so that number of good old regular Americans working for the Bureau has diminished too. In the 30 seconds I've still got you for, what's your take?
Michael, that's exactly the situation. In promoting my book, I've done a lot of book signings, not surprisingly, in Barnes & Noble and other places like that. And every place I've been, particularly these Barnes & Noble around Washington, D.C., one, two, or three people will come up to me in the hour or two that I'm there and identify themselves as current FBI employees and tell me in so many words, Tom, it's worse than you think. Thank you for writing that book. And it's nice to get validation about my book,
right.
But it's also a little heartbreaking and sad to know that the situation is really as bad as or worse than I.
You hope that the good agents stick it out, at least until there's a change. Got to let you go there, up against a wall. Thomas Baker, the book is The Fall of the FBI. Thank you, sir, for coming on.
We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, if you have a family the way I do, you know how much your loved ones depend on you. In a worst-case scenario, you wouldn't want them to worry about cash. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family will have that safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses, so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Let me tell you from personal experience, it's super satisfying to check life insurance off your to-do list because, again, it gives you that feeling of security. Getting covered can be even more satisfying when you use Policy Genius. Policy Genius knows how valuable your time is. That's why their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed, award-winning agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can actually trust their guidance. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head over to PolicyGenius.com and get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
I'm Michael Knowles, this is The Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Last days of summer, 20% off sale is on now. All nursery stock, 1 gallon to our large 24-foot box trees, ground covers, fruit trees, shade trees, and evergreens. Custom-built cedar planters, 50% off with matching benches. Crepe myrtles in many sizes and colors, blueberry plants, and a great selection of citrus trees, 5 gallon to 15 gallon. Gold Leaf Nursery is located at the southern end of Turn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road and Deschutes Road. Sale ends September 22nd. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Gold Leaf Nursery, making Shasta County greener since 1975.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Fire up those taste buds, because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskey Town to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskey Town. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
625. Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. No, I'm not Ben Shapiro. I'm Michael Knowles. You can find me at Michael J. Knowles on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast, wherever you get your fine podcasts, or on the radio, or at Daily Wire Plus, or you, all over the place you can find me, at least for now, before Big Tech kicks me off. Speaking of Big Tech and media going around Big Tech, I have now seen, I think officially, the saddest video I have ever seen in my entire life. I'm not saying that ironically. I'm not saying that to make fun of anybody. I mean, just a genuinely sad video. And because I had to see it, I'm going to make you see it, too, especially because this is Ben's show. All right, if this were my show, I might say, you know, look, is it right to force people? But look, it's Ben's show, so anything goes. This is a TikTok that has gone viral of a gender reveal ceremony. But it's not a gender reveal ceremony of young parents with their newborn baby. It's a gender reveal ceremony of rather grown parents with their fully grown son, who appears now to be pretending to be a girl.
Within the sound of silence, in restless dreams I walked alone.
And then so for those of you who are listening right now, it's a box with the trans flag on it, says gender reveal, and then the sun pops up, and he's, well, okay, and now they're kind of making fun of it in this video that has gone viral, but it's the boy jumps up and he's dressed up like a girl, and then the parents, the father and the mother, high-five each other, and then the son, who pretends to be a girl, goes over to stand with his mother, and the poor father just has this look on his face of just pure misery, that he not only has to endure this, but has to pretend to be happy about it. And this is more common than you think. This isn't just some weird eccentric video. I mean, the transgender phenomenon is spreading as a social contagion. And I know parents who have to they feel that they have the need to just kind of go along with it, because they've been told by predatory physicians that if they don't affirm their child's every delusion, that the child will kill himself. But furthermore, what's so sad about the video to me is all of the things that had to go wrong to lead to that moment. I had this thought. I said, you know, you don't see a lot of transgender identity among Orthodox Jews, do you? I'm from New York. Spent a fair bit of time in Brooklyn and upstate in communities that are full of Orthodox Jews. You don't see a lot of transgenderism. Just doesn't really exist there. I'm Catholic. I attend the traditional Latin Mass. It's a relatively trad group of people. You just don't see a lot of it. All of the things that had to go wrong include a culture that teaches that this is how human nature works. If you go to an Orthodox Jewish school, if you go to a traditional Catholic school, you will not be taught that human nature works in the way that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. If you go to a liberal school, you will be taught that. Even some relatively moderate private schools, they're going to teach you that. You have to live in a country where the media constantly tell you that. The entertainment media and the news media. You have to be in a family in which transgenderism is considered an anthropological possibility. I'm not knocking these people, the adults. I'm sure they've gone through hell. But to even present that as an option would be to push your child a little bit down maybe not the greatest path. But even if the parents are totally buttoned up and teaching all the right stuff, in a culture in which people get smartphones at the age of 10 or 12, little portals to hell, largely unsupervised, where they can come into contact with all sorts of evil ideas, and in which they're then sent to schools and sent to hang out in communities where this kind of thing is tolerated, it's going to spread. All of which is to say, it's not merely a personal issue. What the liberals want us to believe, and I mean the modern progressive liberals, and I mean even the self-styled classical liberals, what they want us to believe is that we can all just choose whatever we want for ourselves, and you don't have any right to say boo about it. That what a person chooses to dress like or wear or identify as or what bathrooms he chooses to go into, that has nothing to do with you. I say, hold on, what was that last one? Don't I have some say over who comes into our bathrooms? No, you don't. We're just individuals, and how does it affect you? It affects me because I'm living in society. That's how it affects me. It affects me because I'm raising my kids in as normal an atmosphere as I possibly can cultivate. I fled Mussolini's hellscape of California. I came to the great free state of Tennessee, which is normal and ordered and conducive to flourishing. And even still, even here, the predations of a decadent and debauched culture are still all around. So I'm doing my very level best. But this is not merely a personal problem. I got in hot water when I spoke at CPAC earlier this year, and I said that with transgenderism, it's all or nothing. There's no middle ground. Either men can become women or they can't become women. And if they can, then we should entertain transgenderism for everybody, including kids. And if they can't, then we shouldn't entertain it for anybody because it's contrary to who they are. And I said, for the good of society, and especially for the good of the poor people who fell prey to this confusion, we've got to eradicate this ideology from public life. I got in all sorts of trouble for it, but I don't know how people could exactly argue against it. This is a public matter. You might not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you, and they're interested in your kids, and that's something that we all need to focus on. You got to take a break. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit StillwaterPowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Our prices start at just $25 per eighth. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm not even going to try to do my impression of Ben Shapiro. I occasionally do it. I pitch up my voice a little bit. I speak much, much faster. I say the idea that, but I can't. I don't have it. I'm not going to try. I'm going to be me. All right. I'm another Daily Wire person, and we have even a third Daily Wire person on the show today. That would be Spencer Lindquist, our reporter, who has just reported on this story coming out of Texas. It's called Colony Ridge. Colony Ridge is the fastest growing development in the U.S., and it seems that the entire business model is to attract illegal immigrants and then suck them dry for money and bring them across the border, take a bunch of money from them, and then when they can't pay their bills, throw them out and get more illegal immigrants in there. So I imagine the return on investment with millions of crossings every single year is pretty good. So my first question for you, Spencer, is how can I invest? Because I really like the ROI potential here.
Well, all it takes is roughly $500 to put down, and then you're on the hook for a 13 or 14% interest rate. So,
no, Spencer, I do not want to invest in one of the rooms. I want to get involved in this business because, as you're describing, it sounds like these developers are just absolutely gouging these illegal aliens. So it's bad for us in that it's attracting more illegal aliens across the border, but also seems pretty unjust. Even certainly to the people of the community who have to deal with this, and even to the illegal aliens who are being pinched in a way that we haven't seen, I think, probably since the mob.
Well, that's really one of the interesting aspects of the story. Again, the interest rates are really high. It's in the 13, 14, 15% range. And despite that, the demand seems to be quite high. I flew over the development, Colony Ridge, in a helicopter, and I'd say it probably took around 7 or 8 minutes just to encircle one of the six subdivisions. It's the largest subdivision. It's 34,000 acres. When you add up everything together, it's nearly 60 square miles. So we're talking about the size of Washington, D.C. This is massive. It is growing. And one of the most interesting points that we found when we were there on the ground and in the air was that there was a ton of construction vehicles that were clearing way, cutting down forests, and clearing out floodplain so that they could keep building. And it's projected that right now there's something like 50,000 to 75,000 people there. But they're in the middle of building really what can only be described as a city. And there's plans that it may even accommodate up to 200,000 people in the future.
And what percentage of these residents are illegal aliens?
Well, that's one of the difficulties, really, in discussing this area. It's unlike almost anywhere else in the United States where we can't really get a lot of hard data. We don't know exactly how many people are there. We don't know exactly the size of it. We don't know exactly how many of them are illegal. But what we do know is that it is specifically catered to that demographic, to those who are in the country illegally. And we can see that in their marketing materials. I didn't find a single piece of marketing material that was written in English. Everything was in Spanish. And they're pretty blatant in who they're attracting. They say, own land in the United States. That's their language. And they say the developer maintains that he's selling American land to Americans, but then you go and check out their LinkedIn profile, and it shows that a large number of their employees actually live in Latin America. So it raises a bit of a question why people in Latin America would be selling Americans American land. It seems to raise quite a few questions.
So who's this developer? I want you to rat on who it is. Who do we have to point fingers at?
Yeah, the developer behind Colony Ridge, his name is William Trey Harris. He goes by Trey. And he's actually a big donor. He's given $1.4 million to Governor Greg Abbott. His wife, Celeste Harris, her occupation is also listed as Colony Ridge. And she's given another $100,000 to Governor Greg Abbott's campaign.
But hold on, so, I've got to cut you off there. This is a Republican we're talking about? Why do we have Republicans encouraging illegal? Well, I know we've had this for a long time. The Chamber of Commerce, the country club types have basically been fine with illegal immigration for years. But that's really disappointing. I try to adhere to the 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican. But with Republicans like that, who needs Democrats?
That's something that was really one of the most shocking parts of the report, and I think it's something that caught people by surprise. He's donated to Abbott, and we know that he's also donated to a couple of state representatives in the area, including one who it appears his cousin is actually heavily involved in the clearing and the construction work. This Republican, he's a state representative, Ernest Bales. He's also gotten money from the Political Action Committee of the law firm that does Mr. Trey Harris's lobbying for him. And then you've got the Entergy PAC, which is the energy company that services these six subdivisions. That PAC is also given the state representative Ernest Bales money. So we know that it's at the local level. It's, you know, it's these state representatives. It's also United States Congressman Morgan Luttrell, another Republican who's received money from William Trey Harris, and it's Governor Abbott. So, you know, this is one of the facets of the report that a lot of people have taken interest in.
Have any of these politicians spoken out about it yet?
So we've reached out to all of these politicians that we've discussed so far, including Governor Abbott, and there certainly is a lot of mounting pressure right now for these Republicans to do something about Colony Ridge, especially in light of our reporting. So Governor Abbott has made some mixed statements so far on the matter. He has not responded to our inquiries yet regarding the donations, regarding you know, the relationship there between him and Trey Harris. But he has said that in the past he's deployed Texas DPS into the area, that Liberty County hasn't actually requested any more. But this is an ongoing story. There's definitely pressure mounting. I mean, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis did just comment on Colony Ridge. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is speaking out on it. He's calling the governor to launch a special session in the legislature. So this is an ongoing story, and we're definitely going to see how it progresses.
Now, if we're talking about land that is the size of our nation's capital, the size of the federal district, then this is no longer just the case of some businessman pulling a fast one and doing some slick deals there with illegal aliens. This is a major political problem. And I know Texas is gigantic. You know, it's the size of, like, the moons of Jupiter. But it, nevertheless, you know, clearly some kind of state official needs to weigh in. Forget about the donations and the relationships. This is just a, it's just a political problem.
Absolutely. And there's even, you know, we should note that it's also potentially a national security issue. We've spoken with the Center for Immigration Studies, Todd Benzman, and he said that law enforcement has told him that there are several different cartels in the area, that the Sinaloa and Gulf cartels were actually potentially early investors in the project. So you've got a city that's being built. It's really a parallel society, and it would be incredibly easy for criminal elements to use this area for safe houses or for other nefarious purposes.
Well, the cartel controls the entire border, and this is something that some people don't appear to be aware of. You know, certainly the liberals, in the way they speak, it's as though that it's just poor people fleeing political persecution who are going out on their own to cross the border. That never happens. That is, the cartels control 100% of the southern border into the United States. And so when you've got a major magnet like this, it's difficult to imagine that the developers would not have a relationship with the cartels. But so then that raises the prospect not just of the state government in Texas doing something about it, but this raises the prospect of a federal investigation and federal prosecution. Have you heard any rumblings about that out of D.C.?
So we've spoken to a couple of people at the federal level, specifically Congressman Chip Roy and Brian Babin. Of course, they're both from Texas, and Babin actually represents the district that includes Colony Ridge. He says that his constituents reach out to him frequently with concerns about crime, potential cartel activity, violence, and various other issues. And we know that both of those offices, both Chip Roy and Brian Babin, are actively looking into the situation, seeing what can be done on the federal level. But Roy has also called for action to be taken at the state level. So, of course, we have a number of different potential actions that could be taken at a number of different levels. And, you know, we're going to chase down the story and see how it progresses.
You know, Spencer, I'm sort of a glass half full sort of guy, and I think that it's good to turn lemons into lemonade. So I can't help but notice, if you've got a gigantic place that attracts all of the criminal aliens to it and then keeps them all in one spot, you know, call me crazy, call me naive, call me stupid. Couldn't we just have immigration enforcement show up and send these people out of the country?
Well, that's an open question. Certainly, it would seem to depend on who is in office and whether or not they'd be willing to take those actions. But it does seem, without a doubt, that there is a large population of illegal aliens in this settlement, thousands, potentially tens of thousands. So if we have an administration that is determined to enforce the law, that is determined to engage in deportations, then it certainly seems like that would be a possibility.
Spencer, if my grandmother had wheels, she would be a wagon. If my aunt had cojones, she'd be my uncle. And if we ever manage to get one of those administrations that's going to take mass migration seriously, I would be very, very surprised. Very good report, Spencer. Where can people find you?
They can find me on the Daily Wire website, and they can also find me on Twitter. My name is Spencer Lindquist, and I look forward to continuing to report on Colony Ridge.
I think you mean Spencer X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, where you are reporting on Texas, a state formerly in America, but these days it's hard to tell. Is it in America? Is it in Mexico? Is it where does the real political power actually lie? Spencer, thank you very much for coming on.
The medical establishment has been acting like the lives of innocent children don't matter for decades now. Many people have grown callous because it seems surreal to think that over 64 million babies have been lost due to abortion. Preborn will not stand silent, nor should we. We can't stand by and let babies die at the hands of abortion. That's why Preborn exists, to stand up for those who can't defend themselves. The only defense for these precious babies is their heartbeat. That begins in just 3 weeks and can be heard on ultrasound by week 5. When a mom, making that ultimate choice, hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the precious life inside her, so many times, she will choose life. By sponsoring an ultrasound for mom, you are being the voice of the preborn. Please join Preborn in the cause for life. For just $28, you can be the difference between the life and death of a child. Just dial #250, say keyword baby today. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. Again, that's preborn.com/Ben. Ultrasounds are life-changing. I have 4 kids. We knew them all well before they were born. For women who are considering abortion, an ultrasound can mean the difference between her terminating the baby and her keeping that baby. Dial #250, say keyword baby to get started.
Do not go anywhere. The only place you could go, if you're driving, pull over. If you're doing the dishes, pause the show. You can go on your app to subscribe to the Michael Knowles Show podcast. You can go to your favorite bookstore, purchase Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. That's my book with words. Reasons to Vote for Democrats, A Comprehensive Guide. That's my book without words. And then we'll be right back. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Fire up those taste buds, because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskeytown to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskeytown. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Original Butcher.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I am not Ben Shapiro. You can tell by my deeper voice and slower cadence. I am Michael Knowles. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast at Daily Wire and on the radio and all your podcast apps. You can find me on Twitter, now known as X, at Michael J. Knowles. You can find me in Washington, D.C. next Tuesday. I'll be speaking at Georgetown. And you can hear me now in Ben's mailbag. This is my favorite part of filling in for Mr. Shapiro, when I get to go into his mailbag and give you all of the correct answers. First question up from Landon. Hello, Ben. Could you explain why a government shutdown would be bad? It seems to me that if the government is not at large acting as an institution of good, then shutting it down for a bit would be a good thing. But I'm probably just not understanding all the ramifications of a shutdown. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Thanks, Landon. In this case, the government shutdown would be bad because it would stymie our attempts to investigate and potentially impeach Joe Biden. That's why it would be bad. This is why Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn came out and surprised a lot of people when she said, I'm not advocating for a government shutdown because we don't want to stop those investigations. I think it was Senator Blackburn. There have been a number of Republicans who have voiced that opinion. At other times, it might be good to shut down the government. It might be in our interest. If the Democrats are spending way too much money, they won't deal with fiscal problems, they won't concede to us certain demands that we're making, well, then we could use a government shutdown as leverage. And a lot of the time in the last 10, 15 years that a government shutdown has occurred, it's been because the Republicans were basically willing to do it and the Democrats were trying to stop it. This one is a little bit different, though. I think the Democrats are eager to shut the government down, or at least more willing to than the Republicans. Just goes to show you that politics is about applying eternal principles to changing circumstances. And when those circumstances change enough, a government shutdown at one time in history might be very different, might be better or worse than at another time. Next question up from David. Joe Biden is saying he won't pardon his son, but what do you think the chances are that he pardons his son after the election with the agreement that Hunter does not turn on his dad? Do you think the odds change whether Joe wins or loses? He would certainly pardon his son. I'm convinced of that. But I don't think it'll come to that. You're assuming that Hunter Biden would be convicted. I just don't think that's going to happen. If he is convicted, I don't think he'll be convicted with any real consequences. My evidence for this is the federal government tried to cover this up for years. The federal government, when the Hunter Biden laptop story came out, they pressured the social media companies to censor the story right before the election. So right away, they knew about his crimes. They lied about his crimes. They said that the hard drive was Russian disinformation. They tried to get the big tech platforms, which run our public square, to suppress it. Then when the story got out, they dragged their feet. They wouldn't investigate it. They wouldn't prosecute it. Then years and years later, they finally say, okay, we're investigating Hunter Biden. And what do? They present him a sweetheart deal. They say that he's got a cop to tax fraud and a gun violation. But the tax fraud issue would basically be expunged from his record, and the gun violation would get him into a diversion program, even though he probably wasn't even eligible for that diversion program. And this was such a preposterous sweetheart plea deal that the judge laughed it out of court and said, absolutely not. The prosecution's clearly trying to cover up for Hunter. So now what have they done? We wait another number of months, and we find out that Hunter is being indicted for, not for failing to register as a foreign agent, which he did, not for the tax fraud, which he also did, not for both of those crimes, which implicate his father in them. But no, he gets charged, he's indicted for filling out a form incorrectly, for lying to a gun store clerk, which is the only crime that the guy committed that doesn't implicate his father and that doesn't look terrible. I guess they could have gotten him on the drug crimes and for abusing the prostitutes. That doesn't directly implicate his father, but it looks pretty bad for the Biden family, so that's not what they went after him on. No, they went after him on what? Making too expansive a use of his Second Amendment rights. They went after him on the one crime most likely to elicit sympathy, including from Biden's most trenchant critics. So I think it's just a total farce, and I don't think it will get to the point where Joe would even have to pardon him. From Kyle. Hello, could you see a state banning porn through a bill or ballot initiative? Do you think a state would pass it overwhelmingly, or would it be a tough measure to pass? Would a state allow this on the ballot? Been wondering this. Thanks, Kyle. The state certainly would like to ban porn. The federal government, I mean, the representatives of the people in the federal government would like to ban porn. Unfortunately, though, there's going to be an obstacle, which is the judiciary. Because back in the 90s, when Republicans and Democrats crossed party lines and passed the Communications Decency Act, which we talk about today for its Section 230 as it pertains to big tech platforms and free speech, but the Communications Decency Act was about decency. You know, it was about porn on the internet. And unfortunately, after Republicans and Democrats passed it and Bill Clinton signed it, some liberal judge comes along and says, oh, no, it's a violation of the First Amendment. It's too broad. You can't really go after this obscene content. And so they totally got the act. And nothing's been done. And now porn is ubiquitous, and kids are getting hooked on it when they're 11 years old, and it's screwing up people's brains. It's turning their brains to soup. It's giving them all sorts of sexual problems and leading to all sort of dysfunction in society. And yet still, it's very difficult to do anything about it. So one thing the states have been able to do is to pass laws to say, okay, the porn sites need to verify their age. So, you know, if I go down to the grocery store to buy a pack of cigarettes, they'll check my ID to make sure I'm 21 now. But I could go online and look at any manner of depraved stuff. I don't need to prove anything. Even in the old days, you'd go to the magazine store. And if you wanted to buy Golf Digest, you could just buy it outright. And if you wanted to buy Playboy or Penthouse, it would be in foil, and you'd have to show an ID. But you don't need to show an ID to Pornhub or any of the big porn sites on the internet. It doesn't make any sense. So some states, Utah would be one. A number of other states have passed age verification laws. And what happened? Pornhub, the biggest porn site on the internet, decided to stop doing business in the state because they know that people are going to be ashamed of this very shameful act that they're doing, and so they're not going to want to give their IDs. And they know that their business relies on hooking kids, which to me is proof that we should just absolutely obliterate the industry. So they decide, okay, we're going to pull out. These are great laws that restrict porn. And then these stupid judges come in again, and they say, no, actually, the standard for obscenity is much, much higher than this, and this is an overly broad law, and who really knows what pornography is? And so I think what we're going to need is for legislators and for the executive, and for conservative judges to change that standard and bring it back into line with the American tradition and reality. All right, next question from Brian. Speaking of the court, my name's Brian. I know you. It says that right there. How did John Roberts get to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? Why didn't the then Republican president or not appoint a more proven candidate like Justice Thomas or Scalia to that seat? How is the process of filling a chief justice vacancy different from that of an associate justice like RBG? Well, look, you're not going to find a greater admirer of Justice Scalia or Justice Thomas than I am. But those two guys would not have been good as chief justice because they fill out the court's rightmost flank. And so one of the roles of the chief justice is to be a steward of the institution and keep everybody together. And though many people found Justice Scalia to be personally very charming, I mean, he was friends with Ruth Ginsburg, most famously. He was friends with Elena Kagan. So people across the aisle liked him, but he would not be the man for that role. And the reason Justice Roberts is in that role is because he's milquetoast and can at least plausibly claim to keep the institution together, even though I think a lot of his stewardship has had the opposite effect, that in trying to seem above ordinary partisan politics, he's very clearly played politics, especially on the Obamacare case, where he reportedly flipped at the very end and proved that the Supreme Court justices read the polls just like everybody else. Who knows what else they're reading? So he's not totally succeeded, I think, but that's what it's for. Whereas a conservative firebrand like Scalia or even Thomas, probably not the ideal candidate for that role. I'm Michael Knowles. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. See you next time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. State of emergency already declared for North Carolina and Virginia.
Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, already experiencing tropical storm force winds and pounding waves. National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan.
We're going to see widespread tropical storm force winds, storm surge impacts, heavy rainfall, and the potential for flooding, and also the potential for some tornadoes across portions of eastern North Carolina and Virginia.
Warnings extend from the Pamlico Sound in North Carolina all the way up into New Jersey for the weekend, with landfall expected in North Carolina. In Annapolis, Maryland, people were picking up sandbags to protect their homes, and some outdoor festivals in Virginia have already been canceled. I'm Jackie Quinn.
New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez says he is not stepping down after he and his wife were indicted on federal bribery charges. The government says he accepted cash, gold bars, and gifts in exchange for using his influence to help three businessmen and the Egyptian government. Menendez says he's innocent until proven guilty, but he stepped down as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Police released more details in the case of a New York City daycare center where one toddler died from fentanyl exposure.
Photos shared by investigators show bags full of powder just a few steps away from a shelf of children's toys. Police have arrested the daycare center's operator and a tenant who lived in the apartment, saying they operated a drug ring. They were charged with murder of depraved indifference in the toddler's death. Before alerting first responders, the daycare center's operator called her husband instead of calling authorities for help. The husband was seen on surveillance footage entering the building moments later, then leaving through a back alley with multiple shopping bags. Police are still searching for the husband. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Inflation is pushing up the cost of just about everything, but life insurance actually costs less today than it did a few years ago. Now is the time to get the insurance you need. Call SelectQuote and we'll help you save more than 50% on term life insurance. You can get up to $2 million in same-day coverage with no medical exam. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-646-9595 or go to SelectQuote.com now. That's 1-800-646-9595. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Hi, Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Step up your grilling game with our Solaire Portable Infrared Grills. Our Compact Everywhere is a favorite of RVers and trailer pullers. Solaire Infrared provides the quick sear for bar mark and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a portable alongside your larger conventional grill to create an instant sear zone and more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at besthotgrill.com.
Lahaina residents are bracing for what they'll find when they return to the ruins of their homes.
The deadliest U.S. wildfire in more than a century killed at least 97 people and destroyed thousands of buildings. Authorities on Monday will begin escorting the first residents back into the Lahaina burn zone. For many, it will be the first time back to their properties since the August 8th wildfire. Maui officials say the goal of the supervised visits is for them to see their homes and properties safely and to get some closure. John Scott reports.
In California, a company comprised of Silicon Valley elites has been secretly buying up farmland in Solano County with the goal of creating a new age city. Flannery Associates has spent almost $1 billion buying 50,000 acres of farmland. According to the area, the group is using pressure tactics to force them to sell. Flannery filed a $500 million lawsuit in federal court, accusing landowners of conspiring to get higher prices for the property. More at townhall.com. Amazon Prime Video will include ads during shows and movies starting early next year. We hear more on the story from correspondent Shelley Adler.
Amazon says Prime members should get ready for commercials unless they want to opt out by paying $2.99 a month to keep their service ad-free beginning early next year. Live events on Amazon Prime, like sports, already include advertising. The good news, there will be no changes for a Prime subscription in 2024. Streaming services are in a heated tug of war over viewers, and users are growing more adept at jumping in and out of those services, often depending on price. The platforms risk losing customers with price hikes, but they could also lose them if they don't generate new content. I'm Shelley Adler.
United Auto Workers expanding their strike. The president said the strike will now expand to 20 states. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? Me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, folks. So you remember Ibram X. Kendi? This guy is a genius. How do I know that he's a genius? He's such a genius that he actually won a MacArthur Genius Grant in 2021. That was a $625,000 no strings attached fellowship honoring his exceptional creativity, scholarly achievements, gift for communicating his anti-racist work and ideas with diverse audiences, and promise for further benefiting society at his Boston University that gave him this anti-racist grant. That is super inspiring stuff. Now, for those who have not followed the prodigious career of Ibram X. Kendi, the founder of the BU Center for Anti-Racist Research, he is the author of a bunch of really not very good books, and he speaks nonsense for a living. The nonsense that he speaks is all about how America is deeply and irrevocably racist. He wrote, most famously, a book called Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America, about how America was literally racist in all of its iterations from the very beginning, that is, up to and including all of the constitutional protections of the Bill of Rights. He also wrote a book called How to Be an Anti-Racist, and he now has a podcast called Be an Anti-Racist. So what exactly does this genius say about racism? Well, he can't really define the term. He just knows that racism exists wherever there is a disparity. The direct quote from him, as an anti-racist, when I see racial disparities, I see racism, which is unbelievably stupid. And you might think that it's genius. It's really, really stupid. Let me give you an example of how stupid that is. The vast majority of the NBA is black. That is a massive racial disparity. Only 13% of the American population is black. The vast majority of the NBA players are black. Does this mean that there's been some sort of deep and abiding racism in the NBA to make all of that happen? Conversely, in hockey, virtually all the players are white. Does that mean there's a deep and abiding racism that exists at the root of hockey? And that is why there's just not that many black hockey players playing at the NHL level? Of course not. It's incredibly silly. If you see, for example, that 99% of men of people in prison for violent crime are men, less than 2% are women, is that because of some deeply sexist root in society? That if we were a non-sexist society, 50% of the people going to prison for a violent crime would be women, presumably? The truth is disparities exist across virtually every industry, across virtually every metric in society for all of time. They're tied to everything from geography to environment. The idea that if two groups by race do not stack up identically in any particular area, this is because of systemic and abiding racism, is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. In fact, it's unfalsifiable nonsense because, again, literally every arena of life is going to include group disparities. Age disparities, height disparities, weight disparities, these disparities exist literally everywhere. But Ibram X. Kendi's entire proposal, which was built up on the back of the BLM movement in 2020, is that he doesn't need to prove that racism is actually at the root of anything. All he has to show is a disparity, which, again, is incredibly stupid. It makes his job really easy, because I, too, can point to disparities in every arena of life. But unless I actually prove that the reason behind the disparity is some sort of evil, I've not proved anything. But Kendi, because in 2020, we decided as a society that you no longer had to prove that racism was at the root of, for example, crime statistics. Instead, you could just simply claim that it was, and then everyone who said that it wasn't was deemed to be racist. This is the magic of Kendi. Kendi waved his magic wand, and suddenly everybody who was not racist before was racist. He says that colorblindness is racist. If you think that race shouldn't matter, that's because you're a racist. Race does matter. And the way we know race matters is because of disparities. And those disparities are evidence of racism. And if you say, well, that's why race shouldn't matter, that's because you're a racist. Don't you see? Well, famously, Ibram X. Kendi, MacArthur Genius Grant Award winner. Famously, Ibram X. Kendi was asked just a couple of years ago about how to define racism. Here was this genius's definition.
Well, so racism, I would define it as a collection of racist policies that lead to racial inequity that are substantiated by racist ideas.
Wait. So the way that he just defined racism is racist policies that lead to racial inequity. You can't define a term by using the term. That is not a possibility. You can't do that. I mean, you can try, but it doesn't work. Again, just to read you the quote so you understand how dumb this is. Quote, I would define it as a collection of racist policies that lead to racial inequity that are substantiated by racist ideas. The audience, by the way, watching this actually laughed out loud. And then he reiterated his definition and he added, quote, an anti-racism is pretty simple using the same terms. Anti-racism is a collection of anti-racist policies leading to racial equity that are substantiated by anti-racist ideas. Now, again, as I say, just textbook logic. You cannot define a term by using the term. If someone asks you to define an elephant and you quickly explain that an elephant is an animal known as an elephant, that would not add any new information to the discourse. If you said an elephant is an animal that looks exactly like an elephant and acts exactly like an elephant, people would laugh at you because it's ridiculous. That's exactly what Ibram X. Kendi is saying, so that he doesn't actually have to define the term. Now, remember, he was richly rewarded for all of this crap. In the middle of the BLM scam that was happening in 2020, again, it was a scam. The lie that American society rests in unidentifiable but ever-present racism is a lie. The notion that disparities in crime statistics are caused by racist policing, that is a lie. But that idea was very prominent. It was particularly prominent among liberal white folks who felt that if they signed Ibram X. Kendi a check the same way that they would have back in the 1980s to Al Sharpton, then they could give basically Al Sharpton with a patina of intellectual legitimacy some sort. He would give a dispensation to them. You signed Ibram X. Kendi a check, and now you are an anti-racist. It's magic how anti-racism works. How do you show you're an anti-racist? You become an anti-racist. It's not enough to not be racist, is what Kendi says. If you say, I'm not a racist, I don't think that people should be judged on the basis of their race. He says, that's not enough. You need to be actively anti-racist. And the only way to be anti-racist is to fight racist policies, namely any policies that end in some sort of disparity, in some sort of racial disparity. And the best way to fight those policies is to give to Ibram X. Kendi. How magical. Which presumably is why Jack Dorsey in 2020 gave Kendi's new Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University $10 million. The Vertex Foundation of Vertex Pharmaceuticals gave the center $1.5 million over 3 years. Bank of America brought in Kendi to deliver his message. And the Boston Globe teamed with Kendi's center to create a new media platform. The Center for Anti-Racist Research has generated precisely zero research at this point, so far as anyone is aware. So, why are we discussing Ibram X. Kendi today? Because, hilariously, after BU set up an entire center in ode to this idiot, that after BU set up with the Boston Globe a media enterprise with Ibram X. Kendi, after all of this happened, it turns out that Boston University is now announcing an inquiry into Ibram X. Kendi's anti-racist center. It turns out the whole thing is a scam. Oh, no, you don't say. Oh, that is a shock. You mean a person who can't define the word racism, but was being paid not to define the word racism? And then the way that you actually become not racist is to sign. You mean that was a scam? You mean just like any other cult? If the cult leader can't define the terms, but the terms involve you having sex with the cult leader, it's a cult? Yeah, that's this. That's this. He'll get to more of this in just one second. If I'm a little bit gleeful about this, is because idiocy that is clearly obvious to the human eye, ignored and metastasized, will eventually take root and then come back to kill the host. And that's precisely what has happened with regard to Ibram S. Kendi's version of anti-racism. Everyone could see this is a scam, that it was idiocy, that it was Emperor's New Clothes garbage. Everyone knew this at the time. Anti-racism is a collection of anti-racist policies that target racist disparities backed by racist ideas. But everyone could tell this is gobbledygook nonsense. But we all have to pretend not, because Black Lives Matter. Now, how protected Black Lives beyond anybody? No proof it does, but in fact, precisely the opposite. It turns out the best way to alleviate disparities is to actually focus in on human behavior and focus in on the behavior that leads to those disparities. But Ibram S. Kendi got away with a lot of money for a long time. We'll get into the details in just 1 second. First, if you have a family like I do, you know how much your loved ones depend on you. In a worst case scenario, you wouldn't want them to have to worry about cash flow, monetary problems, bills. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, other expenses, so they can get back on their feet and focus on the family. If you already have coverage through work, employer-sponsored life insurance may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It's not going to follow you if you leave your job. Policy Genius knows how valuable your time is. That's why their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $25 per month for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed, award-winning agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can actually trust their guidance. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save today. That's PolicyGenius.com. Ibram X. Kendi, his censor is now being investigated. The predicate for this is that they laid off some 20% of their entire staff, following the fact that they had millions and millions and millions of dollars, and it just randomly went for, it's just gone now. Philippe Copeland is a former employee of the Boston University Ibram X. Kendi Center for Grift. And here is what he posted recently on his social media. Quote, Boston University needs to explain how one of its premier centers ended up in this situation and how mass layoffs are anti-racist. This act of employment violence and trauma is not just about individual leaders. It's about the culture and systems that allow it to occur. I love it. Oh, man. It's an Ouroboros. It's a snake eating its own tail here. So, you see, Ibram X. Kendi preaches the grift, and then when he actually uses the grift to fire his own people, creating a disparity in outcome, this means he is now violating his own anti-racist precepts. It turns out you hire a bunch of black people at the Boston University Center for Ibram X. Kendi's grift, and then you fire a bunch of black people, and you now have created a disparity. Then who's the anti-racist and who's the racist, Ibram X. Kendi? Anti-racism is not a branding exercise, PR campaign, or path to self-promotion. It is a life and death matter, says Philippe Copeland. Too much of higher education responded to the so-called racial reckoning with theater, therapy, and marketing, masquerading as institutional commitment. Wherever this has occurred, it needs to be exposed for the obscenity it is. There is too much at stake. Those of us who believe in real anti-racism need to demand more from our colleges and universities. Our students are watching. To those of you laboring in institutions whose commitment to anti-racism is cosmetic and hypocritical, I see you, I hear you, I am with you, says Philippe Copeland. He says he has a story to tell. During my time at the center, I proposed and developed a new fellowship program called Designing Anti-Racist Curriculum. This was a collaboration with the Center for Teaching and Learning in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, all professional useless people. We successfully launched this new program. I decided I could no longer work at the center due to the mismanagement I witnessed. I was subsequently told I could no longer be part of the leadership of the fellowship I created. The excuse for this was that I was leaving the center and would be replaced by someone else. This was in spite of the fact I said I was willing to continue serving without a course buyout or compensation. The excuse made no sense. There's already a faculty member serving on the leadership team with no affiliation with the center. Taking a program from the black faculty member that created it is apparently what BU considers anti-racism. So they fired a black guy. This means that they are the true racist. So now BU has launched a full-scale inquiry into the Ibram X. Kendi Center for Anti-Racist Research and Grift. The assessment comes the week after Kendi laid off more than half of the center staff. Not 20%, 50%, I'm sorry. The complaints, a BU spokesperson said, focused on the center's culture and grant management practices. The inquiry announced Wednesday represents a broadening of a previous examination of the center's grant management practices, according to the spokesperson, Rachel LaPaul Cavalheiro. Kendi takes strong exception to the allegations made in recent complaints and media reports, she said. Since its announced launch in June of 2020, just days after the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, the center has raised tens of millions of dollars from tech entrepreneurs, Boston area corporations, and thousands of small donors, according to the Boston Globe, which is one of the institutions that sponsored Kendi. The money was meant to finance a range of ambitious projects, a database to track racial disparities nationwide, a graduate degree program, a media enterprise, and research teams studying the effects of systemic racism on health and society. Some of those projects have come to fruition, including The Emancipator, a digital publication launched with the Boston Globe's opinion staff in 2021. So in other words, the Boston Globe did its part, but Nothing else happened with the money. There is no racial data tracker. That was supposedly the centerpiece of their research. There is, in fact, no research. What exactly is the list of the center's achievements? Funding for numerous research projects, collaboration in a project launched by journalists at The Atlantic magazine. So they paid The Atlantic to do what The Atlantic does. And organizing two policy convenings. Ooh, policy convenings. So where's the money? It's just kind of gone, apparently. So Kendi has completed a number of personal projects since 2020. But in recent months, he's been on leave from the center. He returned last week and in a series of Zoom meetings told approximately 20 of the center's staffers they would be laid off, according to Spencer Pissin, a BU professor and leader in the center's policy conference. The layoffs were initiated by Dr. Kendi, and they represented a strategic pivot, according to BU. The center will now pursue a fellowship model rather than its research-based approach. There was no research. Hard to have a research-based approach when you got no research. So again, y'all got scammed. Y'all got scammed. And that is the message here. If you can't articulate why it is that somebody should give you money to do a thing, all you can do is threaten them that you will call them a racist or a bigot. If they do not do the thing, this means that you are a cult leader and a scam artist. And that is what happened right here with the Center for Anti-Racist Bigotry. And this is indeed the greatest scam in modern America. The DEI scam, the woke scam, it is a scam. Wokeness, by the way, has an actual definition. Wokeness springs from the writings of critical legal theory. It springs from the writings of Kimberly Crenshaw. The basic idea is Kennedy's idea that America is rife with institutional racism, that institutional racism serves the purposes of white supremacy, and that any disparity is evidence of that racism. That's Kennedy in a nutshell, and it's a scam. Because the only way that you can escape this bind that they have created, this unfalsifiable, etheric racism that you're a part of, is to give them money. And then they waste the money. They spend it on themselves. How many scams have to be uncovered before people realize it's a scam? Truly, it is an amazing, amazing thing. It's like every other day, one of these scams is exposed for the scam that it is, and then people just keep on parroting the scam. DEI is a scam. It has been a scam for as long as it has been a major part of American life. And it continues to be a scam today. We're going to get to more of this in just 1 second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Already coming up, the UK government is targeting Russell Brand. Now with prosecution, but with pressure to social media companies. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The elders of our community, men and women who've led commendable lives. After working hard, raising families, serving their communities, and some serving our country. Many find their safety and well-being is at risk. They risk losing their health, independence, and becoming vulnerable to many forms of abuse. The good news is we can all make a difference. Shiny Care presents Lunch and Learn, September 25th in Reading and 26th in Anderson. Enjoy a complimentary lunch while you learn from the experts. Hear about and participate in the planning for California's Master Plan for Aging, Long-Term Care Planning. Get education on Medicare fraud through Senior Medicare Patrol. And hear the pros and cons about choosing your Medicare Advantage plan. It's Shining Care in partnership with Disability Action Center, PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, Life on Medicare, Sherry Duff, and PSA2 Area Agency on Aging, HICAP. Free registration is at shiningcare.org/events or call 530-232-5543.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Last days of summer, 20% off sale is on now. All nursery stock, 1 gallon to our large 24-foot box trees, ground covers, fruit trees, shade trees, and evergreens. Custom-built cedar planters, 50% off with matching benches. Crepe myrtles in many sizes and colors, blueberry plants, and a great selection of citrus trees, 5 gallon to 15 gallon. Gold Leaf Nursery is located at the southern end of Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road and Deschutes Road. Sale ends September 22nd. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Gold Leaf Nursery, making Shasta County greener since 1975.
Fire up those taste buds, because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskey Town to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskey Town. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
1-5.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So I have to say, it is pretty incredible what the government of the UK is now doing with regard to Russell Brand. They're not prosecuting him yet. They're just pressuring everybody else to take away his monetary compensation. I got to say that, you know, we will see what happens with the allegations against Russell Brand. The Metropolitan Police are soliciting accounts and evidence of the allegations that are made against Russell Brand for the possibility of prosecution of him if it turns out that these can be substantiated. And we're going to find out. But that is not stopping people in the British government from immediately going after any ad revenue that Brand could be receiving from any outlets. We talked yesterday about the fact that YouTube has now demonetized all of Russell Brand's videos on YouTube. So allegations are tantamount to conviction in the world of YouTube, which is weird because Cardi B literally has admitted to drugging and robbing men. But I see that her videos are earning tons and tons of cash. Elijah Schaffer pointed that one out, by the way. It's a good point, and it happens to be an obvious double standard. Well, now the British government is literally sending letters to Rumble. So Rumble is a video site that hosts Russell's show. And the UK Parliament, they had a committee that sent a letter to the CEO of Rumble. That letter from Dame Carolyn Deninage, the chair of the Culture, Media, and Sport Committee, wrote this letter to Rumble saying, quote, "I'm writing concerning the serious allegations regarding Russell Brand in the context of his being a content provider on Rumble with more than 1.4 million followers. The Culture, Media, and Sport Committee is raising questions with the broadcasters and production companies who previously employed Brand to examine both the culture of the industry in the past and whether that culture still prevails today. However, we are also looking at his use of social media, including on Rumble, where he issued his preemptive response to accusations made against him by the Sunday Times and Channel 4's dispatches. While we recognize that Rumble is not the creator of the content, we are concerned he may be able to profit from the content on the platform. We will be grateful if you could confirm whether Brand is able to monetize his content, including his videos related to serious accusations against him. If so, we would like to know whether Rumble intends to join YouTube in suspending Brand's ability to earn money on the platform. We would also like to know what Rumble is doing to ensure creators are not able to use the platform to undermine the welfare of victims of inappropriate and potentially illegal behavior." So you got the British government basically tacitly threatening Rumble with some sort of unspecified consequences for not demonetizing Russell Brand. Now, government working to push social media platforms to demonetize people on the basis of allegations, and the British government has so far not yet prosecuted. That's amazing. Well, Chris Pavlovsky, who's the CEO of Rumble, issued a response. Well, today we received an extremely disturbing letter from a committee chair in the UK Parliament. While Rumble obviously deplores sexual assault, rape, and all serious crimes, and believes that both alleged victims and the accused are entitled to a full and serious investigation, it's vital to note recent allegations against Brand have nothing to do with content on Rumble's platform. We regard it as deeply inappropriate and dangerous that the UK Parliament would attempt to control who is allowed to speak on our platform or to earn a living from doing so. Singling out an individual demanding his ban is even more disturbing, given the absence of any connection between the allegations and his content on Rumble. We don't agree with the behavior of many of Rumble's creators. We refuse to penalize them for actions that have nothing to do with our platform. I mean, that should be patently obvious to anybody, but the fact that the UK Parliament is now unleashing committees to try to pressure social media companies to remove monetary compensation from Russell Brand's videos is totally crazy. I mean, that is, in fact, a violation of every free speech principle. If the government, I mean, understand what's happening here. The government has not charged Russell Brand with a crime. And yet they are now pressuring social media to remove monetary compensation from all of his videos. They're writing open letters to places like Rumble about all of this. That's wild. That's wild stuff. You want to talk about like true tyrannical kind of threats? That's a tyrannical threat. Let's assume that you got accused of something, not in court, not by the police. You were accused publicly of a thing. And the government then went to your employer and tried to get you fired on the basis of an allegation that has not yet been substantiated by the police. That's scary stuff. And that's obviously ending around due process. But, you know, this is the world in which we live. And that is a scary, scary world. Already coming up, Merrick Garland, the head of Joe Biden's DOJ. He heads to the Hill and gets grilled. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Last days of summer, 20% off sale is on now. All nursery stock 1 gallon to our large 24-foot box trees, ground covers, fruit trees, shade trees, and evergreens. Custom-built cedar planters, 50% off with matching benches. Crepe myrtles in many sizes and colors, blueberry plants, and a great selection of citrus trees, 5 gallon to 15 gallon. Gold Leaf Nursery is located at the southern end of Turn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road and Deschutes Road. Sale ends September 22nd. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Gold Leaf Nursery, making Shasta County greener since 1975.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Redding's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at reddinghomehelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Fire up those taste buds, because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskey Town to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskey Town. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
America's original butcher. Original butcher.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, went to the Hill yesterday. And it didn't go amazing for Merrick Garland. According to the Wall Street Journal, he stressed the independence of the DOJ's criminal case against Hunter Biden, as Republicans accused him during a combative congressional hearing of showing leniency toward the son of the president who appointed him. It was a six-hour hearing. Republicans are ramping up their impeachment inquiry into President Biden. But it's not just targeting Hunter and Joe. That inquiry obviously targets Garland as well, because Garland was presiding over a DOJ that attempted to cut an obvious sweetheart deal with Joe Biden's son while Joe Biden is president of the United States. Now, Merrick Garland is denying having anything to do with this. But here is the magic of being a member of the DOJ. It's very much like Henry III, will no one rid me of this troublesome priest with regard to Thomas Beckett. You don't have to say anything. The president of the United States can basically say, I'm very sad that my son is being targeted. Blah, blah, blah. And Merrick Garland's like, you don't even have to tell me what to do. I know what to do. I'll help quash that case. All Merrick Garland had to do in order to effectuate this sweetheart deal, which had to have sign off at the DOJ for sure, is nothing. That's all he had to do. Just do nothing. Don't intervene. Don't give him special counsel status to David Weiss. Don't do anything. And then magically, a sweetheart deal would be cut. So he got grilled yesterday on the Hill by a bunch of Republicans. Here are a bunch of House Republicans peppering Garland with questions about Hunter Biden.
Mr. Weiss has been the lead prosecutor on the Hunter Biden case since 2018. Now, here's the question.
He's been the lead prosecutor since he was appointed by President Trump.
Okay, let me ask you, why has the Justice Department dragged this investigation out for so long? Does it really take years to determine if Hunter Biden lied on a federal form related to purchasing a firearm?
Mr. Weiss was a longtime career prosecutor. President Trump appointed him as...
You're not answering the question. Is that standard procedure? Should it take that long to make such a simple determination?
I'm answering the question.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an opportunity to do so.
Okay.
He was charged with that investigation under the previous administration. He's continued. He knows how to conduct investigations, and I have not intruded or attempted to evaluate that, because that was the promise I made to the Senate.
He's been truly independent, is what we've heard. But again, here's the point. He doesn't have to do anything. You can say David Weiss is appointed by Trump. That's true. It is also true that if you are looking for independence from a Justice Department run by the suspect's father, then maybe when you come in, you say, okay, well, yeah, I understand that the other party was in charge of the Justice Department. Well, now I'm in charge of the Justice Department. And that's kind of awkward, since, you know, my boss is the dad of the guy that we're looking to prosecute. So maybe I should give some semblance of independence to the special prosecutor. That would have been the way to go about this. Representative Jim Jordan went after Merrick Garland as well. Here he was yesterday.
Quote, Mr. Weiss has full authority to bring cases in other jurisdictions if he feels it's necessary. That was your response, Attorney General, to Senator Grassley's question on March 1st, 2023. You just referenced it when Mr. Bishop was questioning you. Only problem is he'd already been turned down by the U.S. Attorney in the District of Columbia, Mr. Graves. So he didn't have full authority, did he?
I had an extended conversation with Senator Grassley at the time. We briefly touched on the Section 515 question and how that process went.
My point's real simple, Mr. Garland. You said he had complete authority, but he'd already been turned down. He wanted to bring an action in the District of Columbia, and the U.S. attorney there said, no, you can't. And then you go tell the United States Senate under oath that he has complete authority.
I'm going to say again that no one had the authority to turn him down. They could refuse to partner with him. They could
you
not.
You can use whatever language. Refuse to partner is turning down.
I mean, that clearly is true. If you refuse to partner with somebody, in prosecuting a case that obviously is saying no to them, clearly. So, yeah, again, what Merrick Garland is saying is, oh, I didn't intervene. I didn't have to say anything. Well, yeah, but if the message goes out that all of these other district attorneys all over the country, they're better off not partnering with David Weiss in prosecuting these cases, then what do you think is going to happen? Precisely. Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky, he's saying the same thing.
When I said how many agents or assets of the government were present on January 5th and January 6th and agitating in the crowd to go into the Capitol and how many went into the Capitol, can you answer that now?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, last time, you don't know how many there were or there were none?
I don't know the answer to either of those questions. If there were any, I don't know how many. I don't know whether there are any.
I think you may have just perjured yourself that you don't know that there were any. You want to say that again, that you don't know that there were any?
I have no personal knowledge of this matter. I think what I said last time.
You've had 2 years to find out. And today, by the way, that was in reference to Ray Epps. And yesterday you indicted him.
Okay, so again, that's about January 6th. But the whole point is that Merrick Garland, as always, the accuser is so often the person who is doing the thing. And that's particularly true when it comes to the DOJ. For years, all we heard is that Bill Barr was somehow a tool of Donald Trump doing all the bidding of Donald Trump, which is weird because Bill Barr was at direct odds with Donald Trump over, for example, January 6th and all the election stuff that Trump was doing between the election and January 6th. To the point that Trump was starting to fire him, Barr was threatening to walk and all the rest of this sort of stuff. And meanwhile, you have now Merrick Garland doing the exact bidding of Joe Biden. And we're supposed to believe that it's completely apolitical. Garland did testify that he wouldn't even say if he had discussed the Hunter Biden probe with David Weiss. Here he was. This is a very weird answer. This is Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana grilling him.
Can you tell us about any briefings or discussions that you personally have had with Mr. Weiss regarding any and all federal investigations of Hunter Biden?
I'm going to say again, I promised the Senate that I would not interfere with Mr. Weiss.
So you have not, I'm just, under oath today, your testimony is, you have not had any discussions with Mr. Weiss about this matter?
Under oath, my testimony today is that I promised the Senate I would not intrude in his investigation. I do not intend to discuss the internal Justice Department deliberations, whether or not I had them.
Oh, okay. So your testimony today is you're not going to tell us whether you've had discussions with Mr. Weiss.
My testimony today is I told the committee that I would not interfere. I made clear that Mr. Weiss would have the authority to bring cases that he thought were appropriate.
Okay.
Okay, but he won't answer any specific questions about, you know, the exact contents of conversations with David Weiss, which is weird. And then Garland was asked, well, did you talk to anybody about the Hunter probe? He's like, I don't remember. I don't think this is true. Do you think that's true, that he doesn't remember if he had any conversations with anybody about the Hunter probe?
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but the FBI works for the Justice Department. I'm sorry.
You don't recollect whether you've talked with anybody at FBI headquarters about an investigation of the president's son?
I don't believe that I did.
Okay, sure. Again, Merrick Garland, one of the most obviously corrupt bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., and thanks to Mitch McConnell for not putting that guy on the Supreme Court of the United States. Also, Merrick Garland was raked over the coals about the DOJ's bizarre decisions over the course of his tenure, including multiple FBI field offices coordinating to prepare an anti-Catholic memo. That happened, you'll recall, back in August when House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan and Subcommittee on the Constitution and Limited Government Chairman Mike Johnson sent a letter to FBI Director Chris Wray revealing that the FBI Richmond field office coordinated with multiple FBI offices across the country to produce a memo targeting traditional Catholics as potential terrorists. Well, Merrick Garland was asked about this, and he denied that there was any religious discrimination at the DOJ, which I'm sure.
Through the chair, I ask you, do you agree that traditional Catholics are violent extremists?
Okay. I have no idea what the traditional means here.
Catholics that go to church.
May I answer your question?
Yes,
the idea that someone with my family background would discriminate against any religion
is so outrageous, so absurd.
Mr. Attorney General, it was your FBI that did this. It was your FBI that was sending, and we have the memos, we have the emails, we're sending undercover agents into Catholic churches.
Okay, now, what Merrick Garland is referring to there is the fact that he's of Jewish background. It's the idea that he would never, ever engage in religious discrimination is crazy. Well, that really isn't the question, is his religious background. It's a question of perception. If he believes, this is why he hesitated when he said, what are traditional Catholics? What are we talking about here? Because the reality is that it is very easy to believe that you are the good guy and that you are not engaged in a form of discrimination. Even if your FBI field offices are engaging in discrimination against, for example, traditional Catholics, because you just say, well, they're not actually traditional Catholics. Are they really traditional? How are we defining traditional here? And well, the Democrats came out in full-scale defense of Merrick Garland, of course. Jerry Nadler in particular went after Jim Jordan, suggesting that everything that Jim Jordan is saying about Merrick Garland has already been refuted, which is weird because the whistleblowers, the accusations that the independence that was sought by David Weiss was not granted by Merrick Garland, that has not been refuted in any serious way.
At the outset, let me make two comments. One, just about every assertion you made in your opening statement has been completely refuted by witnesses who have testified before this committee. Two, far from being favored, many commentators have noted that people accused of simple gun possession while under the influence of a drug, when that gun was not used in the commission of a crime, are rarely, if ever, prosecuted the way Hunter Biden is being prosecuted.
Now, Hunter Biden is being persecuted, you see, according to Democrats. And Merrick Garland, yeah, there are a bunch of administration officials who really should be on the table for impeachment probably before Joe Biden. Because if the idea of impeaching Joe Biden is based on some sort of connection of dots that supposedly has yet to take place, it's not too hard to connect the dots with regard to Merrick Garland's malfeasance. We have whistleblowers testifying to it. Or with regard to, for example, Alejandro Mayorkas not doing anything remotely like his job at the Department of Homeland Security. The medical establishment has been acting like the lives of innocent children don't matter for decades now. Many people have grown callous because it seems surreal to think that over 64 million babies have been lost due to abortion. Preborn will not stand silent, nor should we. We can't stand by and let babies die at the hands of abortion. That's why Preborn exists, to stand up for those who can't defend themselves. The only defense for these precious babies is their heartbeat. That begins in just 3 weeks and can be heard on ultrasound by week 5. When a mom, making that ultimate choice, hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the precious life inside her, so many times, she will choose life. By sponsoring an ultrasound for mom, you are being the voice of the preborn. Please join Preborn in the cause for life. For just $28, you can be the difference between the life and death of a child. Just dial #250, say keyword baby today. That's #250baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. Again, that's preborn.com/Ben. Ultrasounds are life-changing. I have 4 kids. We knew them all well before they were born. For women who are considering abortion, an ultrasound can mean the difference between her terminating the baby and her keeping that baby. Dial #250, say keyword baby to get started. Already coming up, the head of Iran shows up in the United States to yell at the United States. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Five.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the president of Iran, a terror state, showed up in New York to discuss why America's bad. According to the UK Guardian, in a lengthy set piece to the UN General Assembly, he accused America of fanning the flames of violence in Ukraine, prompting protests from Israel's representative to the UN. He claimed any Iranian-made drones hitting Ukrainian cities had been sold before the war started, and said he was in favor of peace in Ukraine. That was on the same day that Tehran hosted a Russian defense delegation led by Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu. He said that the world is transitioning into a novel international order, and the project to Americanize the world has failed. He said the West was facing a crisis of identity and functionality and sees the world as a forest and itself as a beautiful garden. He also accused America of stoking the war in Ukraine in order to weaken Europe. Well, this caused the Israeli ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, who I know personally, to walk out. He accused the UN of rolling out the red carpet for the butcher of Tehran, which of course is exactly right. And he held a picture of Mahsa Amini, who's a Kurdish woman who died in police custody in Iran for not wearing hijab correctly. He was then ejected, was the Israeli ambassador. See, the rule is that you're allowed to be a terrorist dictator, but if you hold up a picture of a person that the terrorist dictator has helped to murder, then apparently you get kicked out of the UN. Apparently, according to The Independent in the UK, there was indeed an incident when the permanent representative of Israel walked down the aisle and furled a photo during a speech by the president of Iran in the General Assembly. UN security spoke to him. At no time was the ambassador detained in any way, shape, or form. As far as we are concerned, the incident is closed. Apparently, the caption on the photo said, Iranian women deserve freedom now. And he wrote, did Erdogan on X, when President Raisi of Iran, the butcher of Tehran, began his speech, I waved a picture of Mahsa Amini, the innocent Iranian woman, who was brutally murdered by the regime 1 year ago for not wearing hijab properly. Meanwhile, outside the UN, hundreds of Iranians were protesting, begging for help from the international community. I'll never stop fighting for the truth. I'll always expose the UN to moral distortions. By the way, I'll just point out, I heard that the media coverage of the number of protesters who are protesting the Iranian dictator being in the United States and just speaking nonsense and garbage, that was dwarfed, the media coverage of that, by the coverage of like a few dozen protesters in the United States who are very anti-Benjamin Netanyahu, who's also visiting the United States and is having a sidebar with Joe Biden at this point. Just to, again, the UN continues to be not only a useless but a counterproductive organization. Okay, meanwhile, speaking of useless and counterproductive organizations, you would imagine that the UN, this international organizations, these would be the places where negotiations would happen over, for example, Nagorno-Karabakh. This is a very little noticed and little watched region of the world except by people who are sort of in the know. It's a hotspot. There are certain hotspots in the world. Kashmir is a hotspot. Say the Gaza Strip is a hotspot. Areas of Judea and Samaria are a hotspot, and Nagorno-Karabakh is a hotspot. The reason it's a hotspot is because it is largely ethnically Armenian, but it is controlled by Azerbaijan. And so for years and years and years, there has been an Armenian separatist attempt to take Nagorno-Karabakh from the rule of Azerbaijan. Well, now, Azerbaijani forces have assaulted the area. They apparently, reports suggest that there are a lot of civilian deaths. the Azerbaijani forces suggesting they were telling people to get out in advance of their advance. But apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, Armenian separatists in Nagorno-Karabakh agreed on Wednesday to disarm and discuss reintegration with Azerbaijan following a swift but deadly assault by Azerbaijani forces, a capitulation signaling the end of decades of ethnic Armenian rule in the enclave and the rapid decline of Russian influence in the former Soviet Union territories. It's a very complicated situation because both Iran and Russia are supporters of the separatists in Nagorno-Karabakh. Meanwhile, Turkey and Israel are supporters of the Azerbaijani forces. The terms of the ceasefire lay groundwork that could bring to a close the autonomous rule by the population of Nagorno-Karabakh, which was won from Baku in a bloody years-long war after the fall of the Soviet Empire. Fighting appeared to continue in parts of the enclave hours after the signing of the ceasefire. The speed at which the Armenian separatists agreed to abandon their armed struggle underscores Moscow's waning power over events in the region as its forces are stretched in Ukraine. It's been a frozen conflict, and the Kremlin has used this as a lever to maintain over both Armenia and Azerbaijan, according to the Wall Street Journal. Over the years, Moscow has sent both weapons and peacekeepers to the region while using diplomacy to retain its position as the ultimate arbiter over geopolitics there. This obviously is another piece of evidence that Russia is weakening internationally. According to Thomas DeWall, expert on Nagorno-Karabakh and senior fellow at Carnegie Europe, quote, Russia's leverage is much weakened by what's happening in Ukraine. We see the Armenians moving away from Russia and Azerbaijan, having a relationship with Russia that is more on its own terms. Nagorno-Karabakh said it lost 24 civilians and soldiers in the day-long conflict that began on Tuesday with artillery assaults on what Azerbaijan said were Armenian military targets in the breakaway region. Locals posting on social media reported strikes on residential neighborhoods in the territory's main city of Stepanakert. Russia's defense ministry said peacekeepers had come under fire and died during the violence. They didn't specify how many were killed. Azerbaijan says it plans to take back the enclave. It's inside the borders of Azerbaijan. It's populated almost entirely by ethnic Armenians who have ruled since the 1990s under the terms of a peace deal brokered by Russia. Skirmishes erupted into conflict in 2020 when Azerbaijan reclaimed areas around the territory. That battle ended, guaranteeing Armenian separatist control over that particular area. But peace has remained shaky. Armenia's leaders complained Russia wasn't able to enforce the deal. So again, a complicated conflict in which the UN has been entirely absent. The U.S., Russia, and EU all said they had made last-ditch efforts to dissuade Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev from attacking the territory. Nagorno-Karabakh has relied almost solely on Armenia for links to the outside world. Secretary of State Antony Blinken called the leaders of Azerbaijan and Armenia to express his concern over the escalation. Again, one of the things that is amazing about these sorts of conflicts is that nobody notices them until they break into violence. And after that, like 5 minutes later, nobody notices otherwise. This is why when it comes to American foreign policy, the amount of focus that actually is placed on American foreign policy around the world is actually fairly low by Americans. It kind of bursts into the national consciousness for a hot second, and then it is just gone. And meanwhile, the feds continue to debate the interest rates because our economy continues to stagnate. According to the Wall Street Journal, Federal Reserve officials are set to hold interest rates steady at their meeting on Wednesday while debating what it would take for them to lift borrowing costs again this year. Their anticipated decision would mark the second time in six policy meetings this year the Fed has not raised rates. The Fed has signaled it will hold rates steady and make no substantive changes to its post-meeting policy statement. That doesn't mean that inflation has actually been solved. Because, again, inflation in the United States remains almost double what we are supposed to be looking for right now. Rate projections suggest that many Fed officials see a rising neutral rate, which keeps inflation and unemployment stable in the long run. It just means that it's already baked into the cake. According to the Wall Street Journal, Federal Reserve officials surprised markets by signaling that interest rates will not fall as much as previously planned. That tweak might be more important than it looks. In their projections and commentary, some officials hint that rates might be higher, not just for longer, but forever. So for a very long time in the United States, you get a mortgage at 3-4%. That is not going to be the case for a long time to come. And that is because of the inflation that has been baked into the cake by the loose monetary and fiscal policy of the United States over the course of years. One of the big problems here, and one of the things that creates inflation, is lack of labor productivity. One of the things that brings down prices is additional labor productivity. As Greg Ipp writes for the Wall Street Journal, for the United Auto Workers, it makes perfect sense to demand more pay and better work-life balance from Detroit's three automakers. After all, workers throughout this historically tight labor market are getting exactly that. But what makes sense to striking factory workers makes no sense for manufacturing as a whole. Pay is ultimately tied to productivity, the quantity and quality of products a company's workforce churns out. And here, American manufacturing companies and workers are in trouble. The issue is not with labor-intensive products like clothing and furniture, which offshored a long time ago. It's in the most advanced products, electric cars and batteries, power generation equipment, commercial aircraft, semiconductors. American companies still lead the world in design and innovation, but the resulting products increasingly are made abroad, especially in Asia. Joe Biden, like Donald Trump, wants to reverse that through tariff subsidies and other government interventions, but the problem is really not about that. It's that Asian manufacturers have basically decreased cost, increased quality, and American counterparts have slipped. When you look at manufacturing productivity growth from 2009 to 2022, Taiwan has had a productivity growth annual average 4%, the UK 1.7%, Germany 1.4%, the US 0.2%. In motor vehicle manufacturing, the picture is especially bad. From 2012 through last year, productivity plummeted 32%. That's not the fault of American workers. As Greg points out, productivity depends on a bunch of factors, including management decisions, supply chain, public infrastructure, regulation. For example, American manufacturers use far fewer robots than their competitors. But it doesn't matter. If you're not bringing up the productivity, that means that you are not going to be competitive on the world markets. And so the UAW is striking for temporary gains in the face of what are going to be significant future losses. Right now, the attempt to transition to electric vehicles by the big three, that's a very risky move considering that Ford is set to apparently lose $4.5 billion on electric vehicles this year. That is not a good number, boding ill for the future of this UAW strike. All righty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. State of emergency is declared in both North Carolina and also in Virginia as Tropical Storm Ophelia makes its way north along the eastern seaboard. National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan says Ophelia will bring heavy wind, rain, and storm surge up the I-95 corridor from North Carolina all the way to New Jersey later this weekend.
Sustained winds of at least essentially 40 miles per hour or greater are going to occur over a pretty large area of coastal North Carolina, Pamlico, Albemarle Sound regions, much of the Chesapeake Bay, Hampton Roads, out into the Delmarva Peninsula. And those are going to advance northward as we go through tonight and into Saturday, and again over a pretty wide area. We're also looking at the potential for life-threatening storm surge inundation.
Justice Department says Senator Bob Menendez and his wife accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes to use his influence to protect three businessmen and benefit the Egyptian government. The Senate Historical Office says the Democrat appears to be the first sitting senator in U.S. history to be indicted on two unrelated criminal allegations. He was charged in 2015 with illegally accepting favors from a Florida eye doctor, a case that ended in a mistrial. The mayor of Dallas is changing political parties.
Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson says he's switching to the Republican Party, making the city the largest in the country to be led by a GOP mayor. Although mayoral offices in Texas are nonpartisan, the switch is a boost for Texas Republicans who have been losing ground around the state's major cities for more than a decade. Johnson made the announcement in an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, explaining he was never a favorite of Democrats in the Capitol and called on mayors to champion law and order and fiscal conservatism. I'm Shelley Adler.
More at townhall.com.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-320-7171. That's 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
High-speed rail comes to Florida.
A privately owned high-speed passenger train service has been launched between Florida's two biggest tourist hubs. The Brightline train is a $5 billion bet by owner Fortress Investment Group that eventually 8 million people annually will make the 3.5-hour trip between Miami and Orlando. Friday's launch was marred by the death of a pedestrian who was hit in South Florida on a section of track served by the new route. No deaths caused by Brightline trains have been found to be the railroad's fault. Most have been suicides or pedestrians or drivers who tried to beat trains rather than wait. Keith Peters reporting.
The U.S. may soon supply Ukraine with long-range missiles to help in its war with Russia. The Biden administration told the Ukrainian president it will provide the Army tactical missile system Ukraine's been asking for over the past few months. News and analysis at townhall.com. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer facing pushback from some in his own party over a decision to loosen the Senate's dress code. Bob Agnew reports.
Schumer announced this week senators can wear whatever they want on the Senate floor, a move seen as a concession to Pennsylvania's ultra-liberal junior senator John Fetterman. He's been known to show up for work wearing T-shirts, shorts, and hoodies. The backlash came quickly, including from well-known Schumer allies like Majority Whip Dick Durbin. Democrat Joe Manchin is circulating a resolution to reinstate the requirement senators wear a coat and tie or business attire on the Senate floor. Bob Agnew reporting.
The White House is preparing to direct federal agencies to get ready for a shutdown after House Republicans left town for the weekend with no viable plan to keep the government funded. Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the House will return next week to start voting on the latest plan. He has until the September 30th deadline. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, things are falling apart for the race grifter now known as Ibram X. Kendi. He's just the latest anti-racist con artist to be exposed in recent years. Is the anti-racist scam falling apart? We'll discuss. And a Daily Show clip goes viral where Trevor Noah tries ever so cautiously to push back against a babbling trans activist. All of that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. A decade ago, a man in his 30s by the name of Henry Rogers was one of 32,000 faculty members working in the State University System of New York. Henry was an assistant professor making a modest salary as he taught history classes to undergraduates, and wasn't exactly lighting the academic world on fire, but he was doing pretty well, all things considered. Henry had graduated from high school with a GPA below 3.0, SAT scores hovering around 1,000, and with numbers like that, many students decide to pass on college entirely for good reason. But here was Henry Rogers teaching college students. He wasn't simply going to college. He was educating the next generation. So he was something of an unexpected success story. Now, nevertheless, despite the many blessings that were bestowed on him by affirmative action, Henry Rogers dreamed bigger. You know, he didn't want to be stuck at SUNY forever. He knew that if he wanted to make a lot of money and advance in academia, he needed a rebrand. You could only go so far with a white-sounding name like Henry Rogers in the American university system these days, especially in a state like New York. So in 2013, Henry Rogers changed his name overnight. He became Ibram Zolani Kendi, or Ibram X. Kendi for short. And from that point forward, anyone looking at the CV of this assistant professor at a middling state school wouldn't immediately think of someone boring and generic and pasty. Instead, they think of black revolutionaries like Malcolm X. Now, looking back, Henry Rogers' name change may go down as the single most effective rebrand in the history of this country. I mean, his timing couldn't have been better. At the moment, Henry Rogers transitioned into Ibram X. Kendi. Corporate media in the U.S., it just so happened, was looking for something to cover besides wealth inequality and Occupy Wall Street. They decided, apparently in concert, to craft a narrative that innocent young black people were being hunted down by deranged white supremacists. To advance that narrative, the media lied about the deaths of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and eventually George Floyd and so on. And during this period, they needed talking heads with names like Ibram X. Kendi to tell Americans that their real problem wasn't Citibank or J.P. Morgan, it was white people. One thing led to another, and before you knew it, Henry Rogers was on the move. He was hired by American University in Washington, D.C. in 2017, which at the time was struggling with the news that bananas had been spotted hanging from trees on campus. This was presumed to be a racist incident, because why else would there be bananas? It must be racist. And Henry Rogers was going to fix things. He was going to fix everything. Specifically, Rogers promised to develop a racial reporting guidebook and to conduct a symposium on racial reporting. Now, none of that ever materialized, and this is a theme with Henry Rogers that promises things and they don't actually happen. But even so, Rogers received tens of thousands of dollars in grant money from places like the Ford Foundation and elsewhere to make it happen. But Rogers was not completely idle during this period. After 2 years at American University, Henry produced a now infamous book called How to Be an Anti-Racist, which offered a novel theory. Henry argued that the solution to racism is more racism. Quote, the only remedy to racist discrimination is anti-racist discrimination. The only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination. The only remedy to present discrimination is future discrimination. Now, if your IQ is higher than Henry Rogers, and unless you're a house cat, it almost certainly is, that might seem counterintuitive. In fact, it might seem like the single dumbest idea ever committed to paper. But in 2019, this theory, this explicit endorsement of racism, of discrimination, lit the academic world on fire. They were thrilled by it. That same year, Henry Rogers was invited to speak at the Aspen Ideas Festival, where he had the opportunity to expound on his ingenious thesis before an audience of adoring, mostly white sycophants. And yet, despite the friendly audience, things didn't go well. And not to oversell, but this may be the single most amusing clip to come out of the entire DEI anti-racism craze. And in case you missed it at the time, you're in for a treat. Here is Henry Rogers, a.k.a. Ibram X. Kendi, explaining his definition of racism, or lack thereof. Listen.
I'm wondering, I just finished reading Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility, and I think she did like an excellent job of defining racism as like a system of oppression as opposed to like a personal choice. It's like, it's there, you benefit from it, or you don't, that's its purpose. You talked about the importance of defining racism, but unless I missed it, which is possible, I didn't hear your personal definition. Is there one that you would offer us? Like, how do you define racism?
Sure. So racism, I would define it as a collection of racist policies that lead to racial inequity that are substantiated by racist ideas. Sure. A collection of racist policies that lead to racial inequity that are substantiated by racist ideas. And anti-racism is a pretty simple, using the same terms. Anti-racism is a collection of anti-racist policies leading to racial, anybody want to take a guess? Equity that are substantiated by anti-racist ideas.
Thank you for this. This is the most comprehensive talk I've seen on racism in my whole life. I really appreciate you.
That's Chanel.
Thank you for this. This is the best. That was the most insightful thing I've ever heard. That was the greatest wisdom that has ever been passed down in the history of mankind. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
These statements and information are for educational purposes only and are not a solicitation for the purchase of any insurance or financial product. All guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the insurer, paid for by Bank on Yourself.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k or IRA? Then I have one word of advice. Stop! You've been lied to by the Wall Street fat cats who get paid whether you win or lose. They say risk your life savings in the stock market. But studies show people who follow that advice will outlive their savings by a staggering 10 years. They say max out your contributions to 401ks. But the man who invented the 401k now says it's a monster that should be destroyed. They say defer paying your taxes to retire in a lower tax bracket. But retirees who fell for that lie are paying higher taxes than ever. Now get a free report exposing the wealth-killing lies you've been told and discover the proven retirement plan alternative Wall Street fat cats hope you never hear about. You can get guaranteed competitive growth every year and tax-free retirement income. Get your free report now at bankonyourself.com/future. That's bankonyourself.com/future. bankonyourself.com/future.
Now, this is an amazing clip for many reasons. For one thing, even in the moment, with everyone in the room on Henry Rogers' side, there's still nervous laughter when he tries to articulate the definition of the central concept animating his entire life's work. Even by the standards of woke academics, this was bad. And they all knew it. Racism is when you're racist. Well, you know, racism is when racist things happen. Okay, thanks, Henry. That was very illuminating. Everyone just smiles and nods awkwardly because that's what academia is now. It's a grift. There's no integrity. There's no dialogue. There are no ideas at the Aspen Ideas Festival. There's just whatever that was. Now, this moment was not the end of Henry Rogers' academic career. Of course, it should have been. He's in the business of anti-racism and can't tell you what it is. There's a lot of that sort of thing going around on the left, if you haven't noticed. Criticizing Henry Rogers, though, or denying him promotions, is white supremacy. So the promotions kept coming. Henry went on to spend a year as a fellow at Harvard University after that, and then he received yet another prestigious offer. Just weeks after George Floyd's overdose, Rogers was hired to lead Boston University's Center for Anti-Racist Research. And within weeks, massive donations were flowing in. Jack Dorsey, the weird bearded founder of Twitter at the time, donated $10 million to Rogers' new center. Lots of money coming from lots of people. Random companies like Vertex Pharmaceuticals contributed millions of dollars as well. In total, the center raised well over $40 million to combat racism. And it's going to be combated by a guy who can't even tell you what it is. So where was all this money going? According to Boston University, it was going to fund some really path-breaking, original research in the field of anti-racism. In December of 2020, for example, BU published an article on its website promising that Kendi would be bringing anti-racist investigators together with data scientists to tackle racial inequities and to, quote, establish Boston University as the nation's leading academic institution for data-driven anti-racist research. Well, what came of this unprecedented collaboration between Rogers' anti-racist experts and BU's data scientists? Were racial inequities tackled? Not quite. The Washington Free Beacon looked into this, and they found that Kendi's anti-racist center established something called the Racial Data Lab, which is now completely defunct. Quote, as of September, the Racial Data Lab only compiled information on COVID-19 infections and deaths. The COVID-19 tracker stopped collecting information in March 2021. The center has since removed the names of anyone who worked on that project from its website. So they compiled information from a bunch of other sources about COVID deaths, and then they stopped after about a year. That's it. Now, we did reach out to Boston University to see if there was something we were missing, but they didn't reply. So it's clear that the sum total of BU's big anti-racism data initiative, the one they touted with articles and a lot of marketing materials, was this. This was it. This little COVID tracker. That's all they did. Now, to be fair, in its 3 years of existence, Rogers' anti-racist center also managed to take other steps towards anti-racism. For example, scholars at the center managed to produce not one, but two published papers in 3 years. Two whole papers for $40 million. It's not bad. That's $20 million apiece. One of these papers looked at Google Street View images and concluded, based on that, that neighborhoods with mostly black residents have more dilapidated buildings than neighborhoods with mostly white residents. I mean, this is groundbreaking, shocking stuff. No one knew that until they spent millions of dollars studying that. And then someone's a light bulb moment. One of the researchers said, hey, get over here. Look at this. According to what I'm discovering, inner city communities have a lot of buildings that are in bad shape. Dear God. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Paid for by Government.com. Have you heard? Morgan's silver dollars are back for 2023. For the 100th anniversary, the U.S. Mint released the first legal tender Morgan's in 100 years. They sold out instantly. Now, Morgan's silver dollars are back in 2023, minted in 99.9% pure silver, but only 275,000 coins were minted, and they will go fast. The entire market and experts agree this is a big deal and an amazing opportunity for both coin and silver buyers. Just call 1-800-937-4409 and you are guaranteed a 2023 brand new uncirculated 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. But with limited quantities, you must call now. To learn more, call 1-800-937-4409. Plus, you'll receive a free bonus Patriots pack, new and improved, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-937-4409 now to secure your new 2023 Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-937-4409.
We'll be right back after we take a break, dear, from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Winterville Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
High school football action is back, broadcast live on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and online at KCNR1460.com. As teams hit the gridiron, now's the time to sponsor a high school football game or games, which includes 1 month of advertising, 4 30-second ads per day, Monday through Friday, between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Your business promoted in and out of each commercial break during the game or games you sponsor, plus an interview during the morning show, and 3 30-second bonus ads on Saturdays and Sundays between 5 a.m. and 9 p.m. Don't miss the live interviews with coaches and players. We'll also discuss the rosters featuring backstories on the coaches, players, and teams. We'll throw in pre- and post-game announcements, along with play-by-play high school football action, live on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and online at KCNR1460.com.
If you would like to sponsor a high school football game or games, call Sue McClain or Tyler Chapman at KCNR at 530-605-4565.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
I'm required to qualify.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Now, for his part, Kendi had some bright ideas that he occasionally shared with media outlets in this country. For example, he told Political, quote, to fix the original sin of racism, Americans should pass an anti-racist amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The amendment would make unconstitutional racial inequity over a certain threshold, as well as racist ideas by public officials. It would establish and permanently fund the Department of Anti-Racism, DOA, comprised of formally trained experts on racism and no political appointees. The DOA would be responsible for pre-clearing all local, state, and federal public policies to ensure that they won't yield racial inequity. So imagine spending millions of dollars investing in a research center written by someone who sincerely believes something like that is a good idea. I mean, it's so unbelievably degrading, so stupid that it defies analysis, really. What would you tell your shareholders? What would you tell yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror? Is there literally anyone on the planet who thinks a Department of Anti-Racism, literally the acronym is DOA, dead on arrival, would be a good idea? Well, maybe if you were one of Rogers' investors, you'd hold out hope that sooner or later the scholars in this prestigious anti-racism center are eventually going to buckle down and get to work and produce something that's actually useful. But if you thought that, you would be wrong. And that's now very clear. This week we learned that Kendi's anti-racist center has just fired more than half of its staff. They've apparently managed to burn through much of the $40 million they've raised. And to be clear, this is an operation that does not involve particle colliders or expensive equipment. Okay, this is a bunch of anti-racist experts sitting around telling white people that they're terrible. And whatever else you want to say about work like that, you would think at least it would be cheap. But they managed to blow through $40 million in 3 years doing that. And now at long last, Boston University says that it's opened an inquiry into where all this money went exactly. If we're being honest, federal prosecutors should also be doing an inquiry about that same subject. But of course, we know that they won't because Henry Rogers is doing their bidding. Now, at this point, it would be easy to gloat. You know, gloating over the aftermath of the complete and total implosion of this whole project. And we should gloat a little bit because it's hilarious and everyone who got screwed out of their money deserved it. There's the fact that one of Rogers' former staffers called these layoffs an example of employment violence and systemic racism, which is pretty funny. Many observers have made the point that the woke inevitably eat their own, and that's true for the most part. You get a bunch of professional whiners into one room, get a bunch of professional victims into one room, give them $40 million, and pretty soon they're going to be out of money and still complaining. In case that's not obvious, Henry Rogers just proved that point. So what's going on here? Why did his anti-racist center really collapse? Was it just mismanagement? Is this an isolated incident confined to Boston University? That's possible, but if you look at broader trends, it seems like something else is afoot here. It seems like all over the country, major institutions are ditching the DEI scammers. It's not just happening in Boston. According to one recent analysis, job postings for DEI positions fell by roughly 20% last year. The average tenure of senior DEI executives at Fortune 500 companies hired since 2018 has been less than 2 years. That's according to a consulting firm that specializes in this area. BLM, meanwhile, is in the red as of last fiscal year. They're bleeding cash. They're burning through cash. And a lot of it they wasted on mansions in California, apparently. So seeing all of this, it's tempting to say that the whole anti-racism scam is collapsing. But as welcoming a development as that would be, I think we have to resist the temptation to come to that conclusion. I don't think that's exactly what's happening here. As we've all learned over the past 10 years, the race hustle is far too useful and far too profitable to the people in power. And multiple generations of Americans have been too thoroughly indoctrinated into this. Millions of black Americans really do believe that they are perpetual victims, while millions of whites really do see themselves as guilty of imaginary racial sins. Just because Henry Rogers and a lot of his imitators have been exposed doesn't mean that the underlying ideology has been defeated. These charlatans are low-hanging fruit. They're grunts that are easily replaceable. And, you know, eventually they're all going to self-immolate because they're a bunch of cheap con artists, and that's what cheap con artists do. But still, you have to think about how quickly these grifters took control of every major cultural and political institution. We went from don't judge people based on the color of their skin to discrimination is anti-racist in a very short period of time. Feels like it happened overnight. Okay, like the Protestant Reformation took a lot longer to get going, if only because people were communicating by horse or shipborne letters or whatever. The woke social credit equity biosurveillance state, that Reformation, took hold much faster. And they can elevate con artists like Henry Rogers so quickly that we don't know what's happening until they've got $40 million in control of major institutions. They can scam the most sophisticated investors on the planet, allegedly, from tech executives to big pharma. Henry Rogers and his team, they haven't done much in their tenure as highly paid anti-racist activists, but they have demonstrated one thing, albeit inadvertently. And that's the fact that there isn't any substance to so-called anti-racist ideology. It's just mega corporations looking to give big payouts to the first guy they find with an exotic name. If it's not fraud, it's something very close to it. If the right can finally admit that, instead of playing along with these charlatans and funding the universities that promote this garbage, then things can change very quickly. But if we can't take those steps, then nothing will change at all. If we continue to tolerate this, then no matter what happens to Henry Rogers, we can look forward to many more Ibram X. Kendis down the line. Coming up next, Lizzo is facing another lawsuit. I'll get into the details after this break. Stay tuned.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Last days of summer, 20% off sale is on now. All nursery stock, 1 gallon to our large 24-foot box trees, ground covers, fruit trees, shade trees, and evergreens. Custom-built cedar planters, 50% off with matching benches. Crepe myrtles in many sizes and colors, blueberry plants, and a great selection of citrus trees, 5 gallon to 15 gallon. Gold Leaf Nursery is located at the southern end of Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road and Deschutes Road. Sale ends September 22nd. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Gold Leaf Nursery, making Shasta County greener since 1975.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Fire up those taste buds because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskey Town to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskey Town. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Walsh Show. I wanted to play this clip. So Lizzo, the singer Lizzo, up until a few months ago, was considered the champion of positivity and optimism and hope and love and rainbows. Recently, her reputation has taken a major hit with various former employees and backup dancers accusing her of being abusive, you know, in various different ways behind the scenes. And what we see is that once those floodgates are open, there's no stopping it. And then, you know, once we start hearing that some famous person is they're actually a jerk behind the scenes. Can you believe it? I never would have guessed. As soon as that happens, then everyone who's worked with that person is lining up and looking to get their piece of the pie and say, oh, you know, I was victimized too. So this is the latest. This is the latest, yet another lawsuit against Lizzo related to this. And here's the report on that from NBC.
Pop star Lizzo facing a brand new lawsuit from one of her former workers.
Yeah, that's right. And new exclusive reporting from NBC's Diana Dasraff and Tim Stello. A fashion designer claims her team was mocked and bullied backstage on tour. She goes on to allege that Lizzo allowed behavior like harassment and racial discrimination to happen.
NBC News correspondent Stephen Romo joins us now. So, Stephen, can you walk us through some of these new allegations, and has there been any response from Lizzo or anyone else named in the lawsuit?
Well, this lawsuit does have some similarities to the lawsuit filed by her former dancers for Lizzo. We told you about those last month. There are some differences here, though. Asha Daniels, a fashion designer who says she toured with Lizzo, filed that suit today. She started working with the pop star about a year ago. She designed clothes for her dancers. Well, in this lawsuit, there are some troubling allegations against Lizzo, but more specifically against her wardrobe manager, Amanda Nomura. Daniels alleges Nomura forced dancers to change out in the open, did stereotypical impressions of black women, called performers dumb, mocked their weight, and the suit even alleges Nomura used a slur and threatened to kill anyone who put her job at risk. Daniels goes on to claim she was forced to work 7 days a week for 20 hours a day and was told to continue working after injuring her ankle.
So that's the claim. Maybe it'll surprise you. Maybe my take on this surprise you slightly. I'm actually going to defend Lizzo a little bit. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
If you're young and healthy, term life insurance should be quick and painless. In fact, if you're 40 years old and in great health, $1 million of term insurance could cost less than $30 a month with no exam and could be issued the same day. But if you aren't a perfect specimen, that's where choosing the right insurance agent could save you thousands of dollars on your premium. If you're overweight or have health issues that come with getting older, you need to call Big Lou. Big Lou has the same issues as you and still knows how to get you quick and painless coverage if you have a few extra pounds, have diabetes, or stop breathing a few times per night. In fact, many 40-year-old clients can still get coverage without an exam and up to $1 million of coverage for less than $100 per month. Call Big Lou today to see how quick and painless life insurance can be at 800-353-9057. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-353-9057. That's 800-353-9057 or biglou.com.
Sponsored by Term Provider.
I mean, I have no doubt that she's a total fraud and a-hole and everything she says about, oh, positivity. I have no doubt that all that is nonsense. But this is what I'm saying. It, when you first get the claims from someone saying this person's abusive behind the scenes, it might be true, it might not be true. But then, the claims that come after, the people that come out of the woodwork after that, are like almost always full of it. This is the same with Me Too, the Me Too stuff. It's like you have the initial claims, might be true, might not be true. Varying degrees of credibility with those. It's always after that. So it's like a few weeks after that when you get the really wild stuff. Because at that point, people figure, well, hey, I might as well go for it. You know, this person's reputation has already been dragged to the mud. Might as well go in and go for it. And so now we're being told this other person threatened to kill them if they don't keep working, I'll kill you all. You'll all die. That didn't happen. And there's a white woman behind the scenes of the concert using racial slurs against the black dancers. That didn't happen either. That didn't happen. Threatening to kill them. That didn't happen. Unless it was in an obviously like sarcastic, joking way. 7 days a week for 20 hours a day also didn't happen. No way that happened. Do I have any evidence that none of that happened? No, I just know that it didn't. You gotta have the finely tuned BS detectors and they can take you far in life. And you can just hear that and go, I don't think that happened. That probably didn't happen. So, significant only because this was the one and only time I will sort of defend Lizzo. Even though it wasn't even her that was accused of it, but still. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
These statements and information are for educational purposes only and are not a solicitation for the purchase of any insurance or financial product. All guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the insurer, paid for by Bank on Yourself.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k or IRA? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. You've been lied to by the Wall Street fat cats who get paid whether you win or lose. They say risk your life savings in the stock market, but studies show people who follow that advice will outlive their savings by a staggering 10 years. They say max out your contributions to 401ks, but the man who invented the 401k now says it's a monster that should be destroyed. They say defer paying your taxes to retire in a lower tax bracket, but retirees who fell for that lie are paying higher taxes than ever. Now get a free report exposing the wealth-killing lies you've been told and discover the proven retirement plan alternative Wall Street fat cats hope you never hear about. You can get guaranteed competitive growth every year and tax-free retirement income. Get your free report now at bankonyourself.com/future. That's bankonyourself.com/future. bankonyourself.com/future.
Next up, Trevor Noah hosts a trans activist on his show to discuss letting trans women compete in women's sports. I will be dissecting this interview after this break. Don't go anywhere.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Fire up those taste buds because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskeytown to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskeytown. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus beans. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
And holding them full term.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. Trevor Noah is no longer the host of The Daily Show. His tenure lasted for 7 years, over 1,000 episodes. And amazingly, he did not make one funny joke the entire time. It's kind of shocking because you would think that by sheer mathematical odds, he would inevitably stumble upon one or two funny moments during that entire run. Like a cat walking across a keyboard would eventually write a funny punchline by accident, and it probably wouldn't take 7 years. I mean, if you gave Hannah Gadsby 1,000 episodes, she'd probably figure out how to get a few laughs here and there. Well, maybe not Hannah Gadsby, but the cat would, that's for sure. So that didn't happen, but there were moments during the Trevor Noah years where The Daily Show nearly approached being somewhat funny, just almost, just never in the way that anyone involved in the show intended. Funny in a sort of pathetic and embarrassing way. And this week, one of those moments from the show has gone viral. For whatever reason, a Daily Show clip from 2022 has been making the rounds online this week. And in the clip, a quote-unquote trans woman, otherwise known as a male, named Veronica Ivy, is brought on the show to explain why men should be able to compete against women in sports. And Ivy himself is a world track cycling champion, quote-unquote, who won his accolades in the sport by competing against women. That is, by cheating. What makes the conversation between Ivy and Noah so interesting is that, first of all, everything Ivy says is utterly fallacious and tremendously stupid. And on second thought, there's nothing very interesting or surprising about that, I suppose. But the more fascinating thing is to observe Noah, who clearly recognizes how ridiculous Ivy's assertions are and obviously disagrees with them, but is terrified to push back. So let's go through this clip from the beginning. Watch.
This issue, people like to say that it's a complicated issue, and I don't actually think it is. I think it's very simple. It all boils down to, do you actually think that trans women and intersex women are real women and are really female mm-hmm. or not? And if you do, it's very simple. Just stop policing who counts as a real woman.
Well, I couldn't possibly agree more. I absolutely agree with that part of it. It's not complicated. It's very simple. And it does indeed, as he points out, boil down to the question of whether you believe that quote-unquote trans women are real women. And if they are, then of course they should be able to compete against women. I mean, it really is that simple. If trans women are women, then yeah, they should be able to compete against women because they're women. If they aren't, then of course they shouldn't be able to. And they shouldn't be able to because they aren't. So, I mean, that really should be the end of the conversation. Actually, like, yeah, if Veronica Ivy, if you're a woman, then you should be able to compete. But, oh wait, you're not a woman, and so the end of the conversation. And Trevor Noah could have said that and shut Ivy down right away, but he doesn't. Let's keep watching.
Because this has had history of racism built into it over the years. It's not an accident that the intersex athletes who get singled out are women of color from the global south. Because who gets singled out for scrutiny is based on white women's conceptions of femininity. And that's being weaponized against trans people too. So it's a fear of protecting the fragile, weak, cis white woman from the rest of us.
So. Yes, applaud. Applaud that absolute nonsense. Now, first of all, you notice how this man is, as always, too afraid to stand on his own feet and defend his own alleged identity. And that's why he shoehorns intersex people and black people into the conversation, aligning himself with them as if these two demographics have anything to do with him. Intersex people have genital deformities. They are not in any way related to transgenderism. And black is a race. It also has nothing to do with being trans. And these are all points that Noah could make if he had even the slightest hint of a spine, but he doesn't. Instead, he ever so gingerly sort of pushes back. Let's watch.
There are many elements to what you've said, which I appreciate. So let's try to break them down. One thing that confuses me personally is It seems like we have discussions about who should participate in which category and how. You know, on the face of it, it seems simple, as you say. You know, if somebody identifies as a woman, if they're transgender, they can compete against women who were born biologically, and then if not, then not. But then there are many who would argue who are not transphobes. There are many who are born biologically women who will say, but you have an unnatural advantage over me, and that makes the sport unfair. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, there's lots of ways you can respond to that. So the first is the very language of you were born and I'm not biological somehow. Like, I don't think I'm a cyborg. So, like, this idea that, like, oh, you're not a biological woman. Well, I am a woman. That's a fact. I am female. So all my identity records, my racing license, my medical records all say female, mm-hmm. right? And I'm pretty sure I'm made of biological stuff. So I'm a biological female mm-hmm. as well.
Well, gee, you know, I mean, not to be offensive, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I'm not a transphobe or nothing. It's just that, geez, I mean, maybe you might argue in some sense, possibly, potentially, in some way, perhaps it might be to some extent, just a little bit, arguably, maybe some would say, as some have argued, that dudes aren't women. Please don't hate me. And to that quivering, jumbled mess of equivocations, the trans person responds with a parade of horrendously moronic, gaslighting bullshit. He claims to be not just a woman, but a female, proving yet again that the gender versus sex distinction, as I have been saying for years, which was invented by trans ideologues, has now been officially abandoned by those same ideologues. Gender is sex, sex is gender. They draw no distinction between those two. And how does he prove that he's female? Well, because various pieces of paper say that he is. Now, of course, if the papers did not say that, and for the first portion of his life, into adulthood, they didn't. And if he was not allowed to change his birth certificate to female, if he was not permitted to retcon his own biological identity, he would still say that he's female. So if the birth certificate says female, it proves that he's female. If the birth certificate doesn't say female, it just proves that the birth certificate is transphobic. That's the way the game is played. My favorite part is his explanation for why he counts as a biological female. He says that he's made of biological stuff, which makes him a biological female. So he says that he's female and he was able to put it on a piece of paper. And he's also a biological entity. Ipso facto, therefore, he is a biological female. Now, Trevor Noah could point out how objectively, insanely idiotic all of this is, but unfortunately, he himself is basically a jellyfish, so instead he sits meekly and listens.
So this question of, do trans women have an advantage over cis women? We don't know. In fact, there's basically no published research on this question. However, there's good reason to think that there isn't, but I think it's irrelevant because we allow all kinds of competitive advantages within women's sport. So one example I love to talk about is the 2016 Rio Olympic women's high jump final. First place was over 6'3". 10th place was 5'5". So a 10.5-inch height difference between first and 10th at the Olympics in high jump.
Right.
And we call that fair.
Okay.
So the range of body types within the female category is way, way bigger than anything that could be attributed to trans women.
Uh-huh.
So if there's an advantage, and I'm not saying that there is, for trans women in women's sport, it's not an unfair advantage.
So we hear two arguments here, and they are the only two arguments that trans activists have in favor of allowing men to compete against women, and they're both fantastically stupid. So first he claims that we don't know if trans women, quote unquote, have an advantage over real women, and we don't know that because there aren't any studies about it. They have those advantages regardless of what's going on in their heads, obviously. Second, he points out that some women, actual women, are taller and faster and stronger than other women. And this means that we might as well open up the floodgates and bring in everybody, bring in the men. But this is exactly like saying that some four-year-olds are bigger and stronger than other four-year-olds, so we might as well allow 17-year-olds to play on their t-ball teams. Sports are broken down along these kinds of categories. It is fair that the best and most athletic four-year-olds have the most success on their t-ball teams, even though they don't keep score in t-ball, so no one really can succeed. But, you get the point. The people who are the best within the category are going to be the most successful. It is not fair if someone who does not belong to the category at all is allowed to compete and exploit the advantages that come from being not in that category. So this is all very obvious. Trevor Noah understands it. He could say it, but instead he comes back with this.
It's interesting that you say that, because I think if I were to push back, or, not even playing devil's advocate, there are a few things that could be argued. Number one, you could argue that although the trans woman who competed in the Olympics didn't dominate, she did beat a field of women who might have qualified for that position, right? Secondly, when you talk about the height differences, I agree with this completely, but there are many who would argue that we exist in a state where a lot of the surgeries are new, a lot of the technology, just the technology is new. Transgenderism is not new. We know it throughout time, we've seen it throughout history. But there are many who would say, how do we ensure that we are creating some sort of standard? And the reason we talk to this is, we talk about this is, it's the reason they have to regulate performance-enhancing drugs. For instance, what is fair? What can you drink? What can you not drink? What can you consume? What can you not consume? Some would say, if you are born that way, that's how sport has determined who goes where. And some would say, regardless of who you are, you should be able to compete. My question then comes in from a really, honestly, a different place. I look at somebody like Oscar Pistorius from South Africa, right? He was the double amputee.
Yep.
And Oscar Pistorius actually went, well, I want to compete in the able-bodied race,
mm-hmm.
right? And people were like, well, did you have an advantage? Do you not? Et cetera, because of the prosthetics. But then could there not be an argument, if there is no advantage in that, that then trans women should be able to compete, but in the men's races then, because they'd still be able to compete in the sport?
But they're women, and they're female. So, like I said, this boils down to, are trans women really women? Are they really female?
And no, they really aren't, is the answer to your question. And yet, from the perspective of the average half-conscious audience member, the trans person is winning this exchange. That's why if you watch the full clip, he gets all the applause from Noah's own audience. This should hopefully help you to see why I approach this issue the way that I do. The only thing that works, the only approach that's effective, the only response that these people deserve is absolute blunt rejection of their entire premise. The moment you pretend to take any of this seriously, the moment you show any respect for this point of view, for the vacuous, asinine nonsense that these people spew, it is the moment you lose. Almost everyone in the country immediately recognizes that everything the trans person said in that conversation was astonishingly stupid and utterly without merit. And yet we have allowed these ideas to take hold. We've allowed this agenda to spread largely because people who know better are too afraid to simply call a spade and a man a man. And also too afraid to disagree fundamentally with the premise. Okay, what you just saw there, the reason why that conversation went on and on and on, is because Trevor Noah was unwilling to say to this person, you are not a woman. So Trevor Noah was trying to find a way to stay sort of on Team Sanity, where we reject the idea that men can compete against women, without refuting or disagreeing with the underlying premise of trans ideology, which is that trans women are women. So he's trying to find a way to allow that premise to stand, because he can't imagine actually saying to this person, well, you're not a woman. He can't say it. He cannot say it. He would never say it. And if you won't say it, then nothing else you say about this will matter. Because everything else, all of our other points of view, every other point that we would make about any of this stuff, you know, whether it's sports or gender transition surgeries, whatever, and everything, every point we make follows from the fundamental point that men are men and women are women. And when a man says he's a woman, he still is not a woman. You cannot abandon that fundamental point or try to ignore it while still trying to take issue further down the line. It doesn't work. People are starting to see that more and more now, which is why recently some of this has started to change. And we see the progress that we've been able to make just in that short time. As for Trevor Noah, he's likely a hopeless case. He'll never come out and plainly say what he knows is true, which is a shame. Because if he's going to be unfunny, he might as well at least be honest. Instead, he's neither. And that's why he is today cancer. And that's all we have today and this week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Monday. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Border Patrol agents make more arrests on the U.S.-Mexican border in the month of August.
The new numbers released Friday come as agents in some cities are overwhelmed by large groups of migrants that have arrived this week. More than 8,000 turned up in the Texas border town of Eagle Pass, where authorities say a 3-year-old boy died this week while crossing the Rio Grande. The latest arrest figures along the border are up from July, but little has changed from August a year ago. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
There's a call for New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to leave Congress. Correspondent Norman Hall reports.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, a fellow Democrat, has demanded the immediate resignation of Senator Menendez. Murphy says the allegations in a corruption indictment are so serious that they compromise the senator's ability to serve. Menendez is charged with secretly aiding the authoritarian government of Egypt and trying to thwart the criminal prosecution of a friend in exchange for gold bars and cash. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Menendez is stepping down as chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee until the matter has been resolved, but Schumer stopped short of calling for him to resign. In an email statement, Menendez accused prosecutors of misrepresenting the normal work of a congressional office, called the allegations baseless. I'm Norman Hall.
General Motors is releasing details of their offer to the UAW that's been dismissed by Union President Sean Fain. And addressing the accusation that the company pays poverty wages, GM said their offer would increase wages that would have 85% of the workforce being paid a base wage of $82,000 a year, including overtime and benefits. Employees would make over $150,000 a year. The president of the United Auto Workers has announced a strike expansion with walkouts at 38 General Motors and Stellantis facilities. More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Step up your grilling game with our Solaire portable infrared grills. Our compact everywhere is a favorite of RVers and trailer pullers. Solaire infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a portable alongside your larger conventional grill to create an instant sear zone and more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at BestHotGrill.com. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com.
A federal judge has ordered the Interior Department to expand next week's scheduled sale of Gulf of Mexico oil and gas leases.
The ruling rejected a scaled-back plan announced last month by the Biden administration as part of an effort to protect an endangered whale species. As originally proposed in March, the September 27th sale would have made 73 acres of offshore tracts available for drilling leases. In August, the administration reduced the area to 67 acres as part of an effort to protect the Rice's whale species. The new order restores the original plan. John Scott reporting.
A new study finds that even with rampant crime and homelessness, New York and California are home to the top five cities where houses sell above asking price. A study of Zillow found more homes in Vallejo, California, just north of Berkeley and Oakland, selling above asking price than anywhere else in the country. News and analysis at townhall.com. More legal battles in California over guns.
A federal judge has struck down a California law banning high-capacity gun magazines. U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez ruled Friday California's law was unconstitutional. The ruling will not take effect immediately. California Attorney General Rob Bonta has promised to appeal the decision. It's the second time Benitez has struck down the law. The first time he struck it down, an appeals court reversed his decision. The U.S. Supreme Court last year issued a new standard for interpreting gun laws. The court ordered the case to be heard again in light of that new standard. Keith Peters reporting.
Unpaid medical bills may soon be removed from your credit report. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau announced on Thursday it expects to issue a proposed rule next year that would bar consumer credit companies from including medical debts on credit reports. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at ShastaCollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at ShastaCollege.edu.
Some people were upset about that, and the right have been like losing their mind. You know, they're just like, oh my god, you know, dogs and cats are living together, and you know, like I said, aren't there more important things we should be talking about rather than if I dress like a slob?
Well, yeah, but let's start with you not dressing like a slob, and then we'll discuss the more serious things. How about that? Living under bridge boy. He's the Democrat Party's monster. It's too bad the nickname Boltneck is already taken. Because a good nickname for him might be Boltneck. if John Kerry hadn't already locked that one up. Happy Friday to you and welcome. John Fetterman, I tell you yesterday, you see, I don't even know, can I use that word on the radio, Michael? I'm not 100% sure. Yesterday he put out, now we're going to change the speech code in the Senate to accommodate Fetterman, too. I don't think it's one of the words. Let me review my George Carlin FCC regulations here. The senator from Pennsylvania referred to members of the House as jagoffs. That's the word that he used. And this is the United States Senate. This is the Democrat Party. Then he went out and burned a police car and growled like a wild animal. Here's John Fetterman now. He just came through the door. Oh, hi, Senator. Have a seat. Yeah. Fetterman's here. There he is. This guy's really a piece of, Michael? He's a piece of work. He's a piece of work, this guy. We do have to keep it clean, unlike the United States Senate, where they can use whatever sort of slurs that they choose, because it's the Democrat Party, and, you know, better be careful, because they might loot a neighborhood near you. Could even be your place. They might just start looting your place, the Democrat Party. Is a party of mob violence, aren't they? Mob violence, political violence, street violence. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco. I only have 3 hours. I should probably just leave that because it goes on and on. Certainly Washington, D.C., they sacked, looted, plundered, they burned. They looted this neighborhood around the radio station. They looted my neighborhood. But, you know, January 6th, so pay no attention. They injured more than 180 federal police officers outside the White House when they were attacking the White House. President Trump was living there at the time. They set the Church of the Presidents on fire. They're the Democrat Party. They are like a scary horror movie, you know, all the violence. And, you know, those people you see on the local news being shot every weekend? That's the Democrats, too. Can you believe that? They're shooting people all over the place like it's a war zone. In fact, deadlier than a lot of war zones. But I digress. We have a lot as always. And, I have a few friends in town and, people that pay attention to things and, law enforcement friends and political friends. And what I'm getting out of the White House is that there is great concern there. And it has to do with Joe Biden's ability to get out of bed and function in the morning. And every day when Joe Biden gets up and puts on an episode of Hazel and has his bowl of porridge, the people there, including Dr. Jill, have to come to a determination as to whether Joe is having a good day or a bad day. And if he's having a good day, maybe they can go ahead with a couple of the, you know, lightweight things they have on the very thin schedule. And if not, they might have to start changing things. And they know they've got to rein him in and kind of keep him close, hold him close, keep people close to him to try to keep him on a short leash. And every day it is a toss of the coin. He rolls out of bed, watches Hazel. He loves that Shirley Booth. And then they decide, well, what kind of a day is he having? Because he's not up to the job and he's got to go. And then the Democrats are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. And that's where, you know, will it be Michelle Obama? Will it not be Michelle Obama? Oh, you see, Lickspittle. I was happy to see Lickspittle's name again. Chris Lickspittle Saliza. Where he used to be at the Washington Post. He used to be at CNN. Now he's someplace else. And nobody cared about him then. He didn't know what the truth was then. And he doesn't know what the truth is now. But he's got he's attacking Ted Cruz. I played the audio for you the other day. Talking about Michelle Obama parachuting in at the last minute to become the Democrat Party's nominee. And Lickspittle has weighed in on that in his weightless way. And we got that. We got the good for it. And John Fetterman, he's definitely in the news because of his clothes. And a couple of Democrats, believe it or not, have come forward. Dickie the Turban from Illinois and West Virginia's Joe Manchin, senators, have both weighed in. And said, you know, maybe we should have a dress code where men wear suits and ties in the Senate instead of looking like looters from Chicago who just ripped through a jewelry store in their basketball shorts and hoodies because that's his thing. In fact, I came in today and I thought Michael was doing his John Fetterman. Michael Pierce is sitting across from me here, and I got to look under the table here. Michael is wearing black running shoes. Black running shoes, I'm looking down there. And white ankle socks, always a good look. Black running shoes and white ankle socks. And he's wearing basketball shorts and a T-shirt with some kind of space alien cartoon on the thing there. And it's not Marvin the Martian, but it's somebody else. And he's looking, and I walked in, and I, of course, made a Fetterman crack when I saw him this morning. Normally, he at least wears long pants, trousers, slacks of some kind. All right, there. Oh, his jeans, I think, but that's okay too. He's doing the Fetterman, but he didn't call me or anybody else Jagoff so far. So that's your new Washington. Here we are. The 21st century has arrived. Hey, there's Senator Fetterman again. Hey, Senator, you're doing a heck of a job. Love the outfit. And well said. And also, honestly, when he speaks, we played a sound about what day before yesterday or yesterday of Fetterman trying to say something and not getting there at all, not getting there at all. But that's fine, because if you raise an eyebrow, if you notice that John Fetterman is the Democrat Party's monster, you know, it's alive, it's alive, then you're the bad guy. You're the villain of the story for noticing that a member of the Senate should be living under a bridge with cans of Schaefer in his hands because, you know, he is not up to the job either. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Senator John Fetterman, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. The Democrat Party is a plane crash into a bridge with a train of handicapped people over a school. That, you know, this is your Democrat Party there. And the news media tells you that everything is fine. Everything is fine. It's the emperor's new clothes every day. Every day. And then there's Joe Biden. And again, at the White House, they have to assess his well-being every morning and decide how they're going to proceed based on whether Joe Biden's having a good day or a bad day. I wonder if they have a code for it. They probably have a code. But they got a code for a lot of things like Cobra, Cobra, Cobra. And other, that's when Joe Biden's walking around naked, which he has a long history of doing, indoors and out, skinny dipping at the vice president's residence, skinny dipping at one of his many multi-million-dollar mansions with swimming pools where, you know, he bought the houses with government salary. He really manages his money well. Not our nation's money, but his own money. He manages very, very well, apparently. But Joe Biden yesterday was speaking to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. They love race, racial division, racial balkanization. So they have a Hispanic caucus, and there's no white caucus, by the way, because that would be racist. But having a Hispanic caucus is not racist. See how the rules work? These are the rules that the Democrats have laid down. And there is also a congressional black caucus, but there is still not a congressional white caucus because that would be racist. But Joe Biden was talking to the not racist Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and he thanked the Congressional Black Caucus because he doesn't know where he is or what he's doing most of the time, and the New York Times and CNN are fine with that, and the Democrat Party is thrilled with that because that means somebody else is running the show. We just don't know who, Barack Obama, who wants you to be angry all the time. Joe Biden is... I don't know if he's capable. I guess he is capable. We've heard the stories about he curses everybody out behind closed doors and uses all kinds of foul, vulgar language, even worse than Fetterman. And you're just yelling at his own staff and dressing everybody down. You know, they do a lot of that. So Joe Biden thanking the Congressional Black Caucus when he's talking to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Maybe the lighting was bad. They'll explain to us later. And Cringe. Cringe was asked about the border yesterday at the White House. And she attacked Republicans. And Peter Ducey of Fox News said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And that was the end of that discussion because, you know, Deutschland über alles. We live in an authoritarian police state. And the left is here. They're not liberals. Okay. Also, CNN has a big poll. Biden leads Trump in potential New Hampshire rematch. Are they having a rematch in New Hampshire? Not exactly a key swing state. Though dissatisfaction with both remains high. See, that's the thing. And so we got that, and it's a CNN poll. So for what it's worth, which is different than a Biden family poll, which is usually found inside of a gentleman's club. That's it's a different thing altogether. Joe Biden, you saw Joe Biden bumped into a poll yesterday, night before last. Joe Biden walking off stage bumped into a poll and said, "Hey, Mr. President, you just bumped into a poll." And he thought he had jumped into the Polish prime minister. But it wasn't. It was just a flagpole, not the Polish prime minister. So we got that going. And Senate dress code could return as lawmakers plan revolt against controversial move, is Forbes magazine headquarters. And Fetterman, who is they got a code name for him on Capitol Hill, the U.S. Capitol Police, too, and his code name is. And then everybody knows who they're talking about, see? And Fetterman says, the world didn't spin off its axis. And then the Jagoffs in the House, outraged by his outfits. I don't know, outrage, but, it's worth pointing out. And Fetterman, with his unsavory language, his impolite language. But this is the lexicon that the left has adopted. And honestly, I think that conservatives have to return fire in kind. And they're never very good at that. But you should probably do it in a clever and funny way to mock Fetterman and, his Peter Boyle and Young Frankenstein impersonation is growing old. But maybe that's me. And a suspected robber who allegedly pistol-whipped store clerk, that's a Democrat, stopped in his tracks by armed Good Samaritan. Oh, no. See, the Democrats hate that. You don't want a law-abiding citizen with a legal concealed carry permit stopping crime. You want crime. Those are the two choices there. And the Democrats say, well, let's see, what do we want here? A citizen who's trained in the use of firearms and legally possesses a firearm, defending the community when the police can't be there because they can't be everywhere at once. Or do we want the criminal to be successful and get away with it and pistol whip people and steal stuff? And the Democrats choose B. We want the criminal to pistol whip the old person, steal stuff, and get away with it and never be caught. And then if they are caught, they want to release them right away without bail so they can do it again. Because Democrats, violence, mob political violence, mob street violence, mob looting, the Democrats, every one of those mob looting scenes you've seen, all Democrats, every single one of them. I know this because if there were one that were not Democrats, that would be big news for months on end. And people would get 22 years in prison, and the trials would be carried live all day on the television. Also, a New York Times columnist posted a picture of his lunch at an airport in New Jersey, and he claimed that it was $78 for a cheeseburger and crinkle-cut fries. Looks pretty good. And a drink, a glass with ice, and looks like brown liquor. And he said it cost him $78. $78. That's why Americans think the economy is terrible. Well, that's part of it. But only a small part. David Brooks. At the New York Times, they pretend he's a conservative columnist, which is pretty funny. Well, the restaurant has had its revenge on New York Times columnist David Brooks. Also, the first openly transgender NFL cheerleader, who may become a quarterback real soon, or maybe be better, he played center. Just saying.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Chris Plant Show.
Consumer Cellular's award-winning customer support team is 100% based in the U.S. And you're 100% based in the U.S. That's something you have in common with Consumer Cellular. You want premium nationwide coverage, and we offer premium nationwide 5G plus coverage. You want to be contractually obligated to nothing, and we offer you contract-free phone plans. Consumer Cellular has an acute fear of spiders.
and your fear of spiders is acute as well. We want to give you a free month of service, and yeah, you want a free month of cell phone service. We obviously can't wait to hear from you. Switch and get your second month for free today. Visit consumercellular.com/freemonth and enter code freemonth. That's consumercellular.com/freemonth and enter code freemonth. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Promotion is subject to terms and conditions.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Because right now, you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the average family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. And what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the member satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. Bottom line, it works. There's more than 400,000 members who have shared over $7 billion in medical bills, so they can handle your bills too. And here's the thing. If you join before September 30th, you'll save another $150 on your first month when you join. Nice. I'll give you the number here in a second. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. And again, the deadline, September 30th. So call now and you'll save even more. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
The lights are off. Everything is quiet. You're ready to sleep. But your brain isn't. It's going a mile a minute, stressing about every detail of your life. Like that awkward thing you said when you were 13, or whether you chose the right career, or that unanswered text you sent earlier. Sound familiar? Whether they strike before bed, or any time throughout the day. Racing thoughts are a pain. Therapy can give you a place to work through all those thoughts and come up with solutions so they don't keep you up at night or stop you from enjoying the rest of your day. With BetterHelp, just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist based on your needs and preferences. Connect by phone, video, or chat from wherever you are. Switch therapists anytime and use flexible week-to-week scheduling to book appointments. Get a break from your racing thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/express today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/express.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Paid for by Wesley Financial Group.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the five ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Call 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
It's a sizzling steak timber at OmahaSteaks.com. Type garden in the search bar for half off all mouthwatering steaks and get two free 10-ounce bone-in New York strips with select packages. Incredible entrees, scrumptious sides, decadent desserts, and half off all steaks with keyword garden. But hurry, OmahaSteaks.com, keyword garden for 50% off all steaks during steak timber.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
We are at 888-630-9625. Feel free to call and participate in our humble broadcast. on this beautiful American Friday. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to George calling from Melbourne, Florida. Jorge, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha.
I just wanna run by you a little story here, a real short one. Okay, I came here in 1978. I came from Venezuela. I came to study, and I met a beautiful woman. I ended up getting married. Loved this country. Got a beautiful daughters. Everything. But in the 60s, 60s and 70s and 80s, at the beginning of the 80s, everything was Venezuela was the richest country in this in South America.
Right.
Okay. Everything was great. There was corruption in the government, like all every country have a little corruption. Okay. But then Chavez came to power. Okay. He was the one that said, no, I'm for the people. The people are first. Even the presidential jet, he said, no, we don't need that kind of jet. I don't need to travel in that expensive luxury and all that stuff. Okay, but power, money, everything else get to the head. What happened? He became a dictator. After he became a dictator, ended up that he used the police is called PTJs, technical police, against his enemies. And that's how he took more power from everybody else. Okay, so is anything that it looks to me familiar here with what's going on in this country right now? What's going on in this country is the same floor plan that happened in South America and it happened in Venezuela. If we as a citizen don't wake up and see what's going on here, we're going to end up in a very bad shape here.
Yeah,
that's
well,
the problem.
You're their worst nightmare, George. You're an immigrant paying attention who still understands and appreciates the value of the United States of America, of the Bill of Rights, of the Constitution, of our Constitutional Republic, of our freedoms and our liberties, as the left is here. And I keep pointing this out, George, you may be aware, these are not liberals. This is the left.
No, they're not.
Yeah, and
yeah,
that
they're not.
Yeah, nothing could be more different. The left is not liberal at all. And these people are authoritarian in their political orientation and their social orientation. And, George, we even have it at the Chris Plant store. The left is coming for your rights. In fact, we have it with President Trump's mugshot on coffee mugs and the Chris Plant Show logo. The left is coming for your rights.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me on Monday as we welcome Mark Aird, and discussions will be about the Second Amendment and the court case that is looking good for those of us who believe in the Second Amendment. Also joining us is the Veterans Disability Center with information about the programs they have there and how they help our veterans. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Greg's Pump and Well Service. Quality, durability, affordability. He has it all. He's experienced, licensed, and bonded. Greg handles any water system challenge. From installations, water treatment, and off-grid solutions, he is your water solution. Call now at 530-282-5395 or visit gregspump.com. 530-282-5395. Let's get to work. License 1090355.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Last days of summer, 20% off sale is on now. All nursery stock 1 gallon to our large 24-foot box trees, ground covers, fruit trees, shade trees, and evergreens. Custom-built cedar planters, 50% off with matching benches. Crepe myrtles in many sizes and colors, blueberry plants, and a great selection of citrus trees, 5 gallon to 15 gallon. Gold Leaf Nursery is located at the southern end of Turn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road and Deschutes Road. Sale ends September 22nd. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Gold Leaf Nursery, making Shasta County greener since 1975.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
And the National Football League has gone all in with the transgender cheerleader. That's a man pretending to be a woman as a cheerleader for the Carolina Panthers. Insert joke here. After becoming a member of the Carolina Panthers' Top Cats cheerleaders in March, Justine Lindsay has heard that there was nothing like the team's first home game of the season. That statement proved true. And here is Lindsay, an African-American man, goes by that, I guess. Oh, Justine, probably, who knows, Justin. You notice that they don't even mention anymore what the person was known as for the first 20 years of their lives or whatever. It was the best moment I could imagine, Justine Lindsay said, the new Carolina Panthers Top Cat cheerleader. Now, Michael and I were talking about this morning and said, could they be in danger of having a flag thrown for too many men on the field if they've got, you know, the team up at the line of scrimmage and then Dude looked like a lady, but not really. On the cheerleader squad is on the field. Could be, I can hear the whistle now. See the flag flying. Too many men on the field. That's crazy. Lindsay, 30 years old, is the first openly. You know how they like to use the word openly when it would be so obvious? It's just so completely ridiculous. The first openly transgender cheerleader in the NFL. That implies or insinuates that there have been other transgender cheerleaders in the NFL, but we just didn't know it. See, that's the thing. I guess that would be women who think they're men. Is that would that be the secret code to that one? You don't even want to talk about secret sauce in this situation. Her arrival, meaning his arrival, in the NFL was first announced in a personal Instagram post and was followed by a host of media coverage, and all the media love it. They're like, oh, isn't this wonderful? I'm so progressive. I support this. That's what's going through their little brains when they're typing up press releases for all of this. Now more than halfway through the NFL season and in support of Transgender Awareness Week. It's Transgender Awareness Week. When is that? That's November 13th to November 19th. Something else to look forward to. Put that on your calendars because, you know, you want to be aware. It's Transgender Awareness Week, and we all have to be aware. When is Normal Week? I want to put on my calendar Normal Week because I think we all need to take a little time out to remember normal. Shouldn't we pause to remember normal? When is Heterosexual Month? Just average guy, average girl, heterosexual month. Which month is that? That's every other month. No, it's not. No. Where's the straight flag? Where's the straight flag? I want to have straight flags flying in front of every school, straight flags in every classroom to, you know, introduce the children to something they haven't heard much about. Normal. What about that? Seemed like a good idea. So we'll have a straight month and have straight flags. And also, I mean, honestly, I think that Republican groups and pro-life groups need to get together. There is, as it turns out, a pro-life flag with a pro-life symbol. And I think Republicans need to fight to have pro-life month and to have the pro-life flag flown in every classroom and in front of every school everywhere in the country for pro-life month, because the left has introduced this, you know, political flag, political month, political movement thing. You know, I know that we have like National Cheeseburger Day and things like that, but that's not very, I guess the Democrats think that's political too, because it's food and they're anti-food. And just amazing stuff. But, Republicans, conservatives, pro-life forces need to demand, go to the New York City school system, Los Angeles school system, and demand that we have pro-life month and fly the pro-life flag in front of every school and in every classroom, and then have straight month, and we'll have to come up with a straight flag and fly that in front of every school, have it in every classroom, because that would be the way to go. But in the meantime, the Carolina Panthers winning friends everywhere they go with their Top Cats cheerleaders. And, it reminded me, we were talking about it this morning, Michael and I, it reminded me of the old Burt Reynolds movie, The Longest Yard. Remember the Burt Reynolds movie, The Longest Yard? They remade The Longest Yard later. But Burt Reynolds went to prison for stealing his girlfriend's Citroen or something and crashing it. And he sent to prison, and he used to be an NFL quarterback, and he kind of became a drunk, and he failed. And there he is in prison because he committed crimes. And the head of the prison, I think it's Eddie Albert. Is it Eddie Albert? He wants to have a football team to play against other prisons or something like that. And they're having the prison game with the inmates making up the football team. And in the stands, they have a bunch of men who are convicts dressed as women cheerleaders in the movie The Longest Yard, right? And they're dancing and jumping up and down and hissing and, you know, doing voices and things to get a laugh at the movie theater, which is what that was all about. It was about getting a laugh. But the Democrats have turned a lot of things that used to be satire and comedy into mainstream American culture. Am I right? Yeah. You know I am. That's exactly right. So we got that. Yeah, The Longest Yard. We could probably find that scene. We should probably find that scene and post it with the Jaguars story, because once again, all these things that used to be Monty Python used to be complete satire, and the Democrats have gone mainstream with all these things that not long ago we would mock and everyone would laugh at. And now you're a terrible person if you don't endorse the, you know, the black guy in a cheerleader outfit saying, I'm a lady, and dancing around with pom-poms. And this makes sense to the Democrat Party because they're unwell. They have sexual issues all over the place, gender issues, family issues, mommy issues, daddy issues, straight issues, children issues. Boy, do they have children issues. Leave the children alone. Leave the children alone. And stop shooting people. Just two tips for the Democrat Party. Stop sexually tormenting first graders, all right, because that is unwell. That's not, that means you're not doing okay. Stop shooting everybody. If the Democrat, it'd be like Death Takes a Holiday, another old movie, also remade. Meet Joe Black, I think it was the remake. Brad Pitt. And the, but the original Death Takes a Holiday was better. And I think the Democrats, you know, they should, maybe they, the, if they had any leadership and they don't, then somebody should step up and say, stop shooting people. Let's start in Chicago or start in Baltimore or start in Washington, D.C. Let's have Death Takes a Holiday weekend. Have Democrat leaders come out and, dare I say, black leaders. Do we have any black? We have Al Sharpton. And maybe everybody had listened to Al Sharpton because I think he's getting his word from Gurgle, isn't he? He's getting that's where he gets his guidance from Gurgle. But maybe somebody should step and say, hey, 10,000 black people are going to be murdered in the United States this year. That's a number greater than the total number of black people that died in the entire Vietnam War. Maybe just one weekend, Democrats should not shoot anyone. Sound like a good idea? Maybe we should have a flag for that. Should we get a flag for that? Then the Democrats would pay attention. They like causes with flags. A lot of flags for Democrats. Not the American flag, generally. You know, they need a Zippo lighter if they get their hands on an American flag because they like to burn the American flag, but every other flag they're in favor of. That's your Democrat Party. Just extraordinary stuff. And Joe Biden. Joe Biden, I wonder, is he awake yet, do you think, down at the White House? And have they figured out? Because what I hear is there's a great deal of frustration at the White House. How's he going to do today? What are we going to do with Joe today? Is he up to the day today? Because every morning it's a roll of the dice. And at the White House, they know it. They know it, you bet. All right, let's go to a telephone call. Let's go to Tricia calling from Herndon, Virginia. Tricia, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I couldn't be better, Tricia. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I wake up to you every day, and you put a smile on my face.
I'm very happy to hear that. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll keep it quick. We could probably extrapolate this to the transgender issue, but this is about the illegals. DeSantis and Greg Abbott made such a great team with busting the illegal immigrants all over the country that I'm sad to see that Abbott is getting such flack for those barriers he put in the Rio Grande. And I thought that DeSantis and Abbott could team up again, and DeSantis could ship him a bunch of his natural resources called alligators.
Yeah, that do you? Because what was it? The there was a big alligator story last week. It wasn't even in Florida. I think it was in Texas, where a Girl Scout troop was chased away by a 14-foot alligator. Did you see that?
Yep.
and the scoutmaster lady put herself between the 14-foot alligator and the little girls, and it was kind of an amazing story, and everybody was fine, and even the alligator was fine. Now the Democrats are already angry with you because, you know, they like open borders. And you saw I was talking about it yesterday, Tricia, that the Governor Abbott said that the Biden people sent people down there with bolt cutters to cut through the concertina wire that had been laid there by the Texas National Guard at Eagle Pass. And the Biden people came down like a gang of criminals, and they cut through the, and that's state property too, so they're damaging state property. They shall be arrested and in handcuffs, and they should be forced to pay $1 billion for it. But, of course, that'd be our money. But that, you know, the Biden administration, the Democrats, let's just face it, the Democrats are not on our side, and they're trying to erase the United States of America, aren't they?
They are, for sure. Welcome to communism.
Honestly, our culture, our norms, science, gender, genetics, normal sexual behavior for children versus adults, they're erasing everything normal. They are abnormal. They really are. I think if you put their brains in jars, you would see that they're gray and there's something terribly wrong with them.
Yes. But I think since our government's not providing any deterrent for the illegals and Abbott is not allowed to place man-made deterrents, I think, and drowning isn't a big enough deterrent for these folks, I think maybe, you know, some hungry gators might do the job.
We could hope, and then we could at least advertise that there are 14-foot gators in the Rio Grande all over the place, and it's more dangerous than ever. But the Biden people, it's a fun idea. It's a great idea. Sharks won't work because it's freshwater. So you need gators. Gators are a good call, and they should all be at least 10 feet, I think, because we have dinosaurs. We have these dinosaurs roaming around. We should use them.
Exactly. And I you know what? Invasive species are habitating other areas all the time. I think we could just claim innocence on this. I'm like, I don't know where the gators came from.
We'll blame climate change.
It's climate change did it.
See, they used to be hundreds of miles away, but now they're in the Rio Grande, and that's just the only possible explanation is climate change, as is the case with pretty much everything else, I think.
And then when we get the border shut down, we can use them for purses and boots.
Exactly. See, you are a capitalist, too. You've got a plan. You got a business plan. You're brilliant.
I am. Thank you.
You're brainstorming today. That's beautiful stuff. I was talking yesterday about how DeSantis and Abbott should get together and Republican governors should get together and use their Air National Guard assets, like C-130 transport planes, and take all of the illegals from the border as soon as they come across, and the Biden people wave them into Texas. Take them, load them up onto C-130s, fly them to New York, and drop them off. If you can, bus them all to Times Square. But I will not rest. You know, Eagle Pass, Texas, has a number of illegals there that is equal to half the population of the city of Eagle Pass, Texas. They've got a population of about 28,000 people. They got about 15,000 illegals. That means half the population. To match that in New York City, you'd have to move 4.5 million illegal aliens to New York City. And I think that should be the goal of the Republican governors. I think Air National Guard assets should be called in to accomplish that goal. And, you know, they're crying uncle when they got like 50 illegal aliens sleeping on a sidewalk. They claim they have 60,000 or something. But it's a city of 9 million people. In order to make them have the same experience, to make them experience what Eagle Pass, Texas is experiencing, we'd have to bring 4.5 million illegal aliens to New York City. And I think that should be a goal of the Republican governors, not just in Florida and Texas, but Republican governors throughout the country should offer up assets, Air National Guard assets, transport planes, to move the illegals from the southern border to New York City. It seems, have you noticed, Tricia, it gets their attention when you move them. And it was so brilliant to send them to sanctuary cities in New York where they brag about and call you names, and they're better than you are, this preening. And then you send them a few illegal aliens, and they say, as Eric Adams did, that they're going to destroy the city of New York, and it will never recover.
What?
Like, welcome to Eagle Pass, Texas.
What racists and xenophobes they are in New York. I'm aghast that they're not taking them in.
That's exactly right. They're obviously racist. The party, the Democrat Party of the KKK and Jim Crow, revealing themselves once again. This time, illegal aliens. How many is too many? Well, I guess we found the answer to that question. Not very many. It's like Martha's Vineyard, which was hilarious. Bunch of crooks. Tricia, thank you for the call. Wonderful thoughts, clever thoughts, alligators, and then boots and handbags. And you get big gators. You can even make big pieces of luggage. Oh, the alligator bags. Good stuff. Mmm, and tasty meat, too.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
When you call Consumer Cellular's customer support to discuss our affordable and flexible phone plans, it's like you're calling the Declaration of Independence or a hot dog at a baseball game. Because Consumer Cellular's customer support is based entirely in the United States. And Consumer Cellular's customer support agents are from where you're from. The same small town that you're from. The one that stretches from California to Maine, Minnesota to Corpus Christi, Texas. The one that cares about its neighbors and lights fireworks. Legal ones in the street. So the next time you want to make a phone call that feels like an American flag waving at an air show at magic hour, give us a call. Even if it's for no reason at all, except to exchange barbecue sauce recipes like a couple of Americans. Or make jokes about Canadians. LOL. Just kidding. We love Canadians. They're our neighbors. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost.
Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-409-3561. That's 800-409-3561. What do you have to lose? Call 800-409-3561. Again, 800-409-3561.
Fire up those taste buds, because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskey Town to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskey Town. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Our prices start at just $25 per eighth. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
week.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
To qualify.
There is a Democrat senator from the state of New Jersey named Bob Menendez. Bob Menendez. He's been indicted before, and now he's being indicted again because, you know, he's a Democrat, and he's been indicted now along with his wife. Is that really his wife? On charges of bribery, because bribery is their thing. Now, if you say that the Biden family, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, involved in bribery, even though Ukrainians who were in the midst of it all say that they were bribed $5 million here, $5 million there, and sooner or later people start talking. But Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, comma, wife, charged with bribery, CNBC types on behalf of their party. U.S. Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey and his wife Nadine, if that's her real name, have been indicted in New York on federal bribery charges, much better than the state bribery charges, I think, related to an allegedly corrupt relationship with three businessmen. In this case, strangely, it's not sexual. That's really the surprising part, I think. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan has scheduled a press conference for 11 a.m. Eastern Time to discuss the indictment. Senator Menendez, a Democrat, is chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. That's, I thought Joe Biden was in charge of our foreign relations. He's doing such a good job. You see, he infuriated Joe Biden at the United Nations, the president and the communist Lula of Brazil, who's a left-wing leftist lefty. And Lula was there, and Biden shook hands with another world leader. And then Lula walked up for his handshake, and Biden turned like a jellyfish and wandered away. Honestly, he learned his behavior from, I think, tropical fish and fish tanks. He is, he's not good at anything. Just amazing. Menendez says, I'm not guilty of bribery. And then he drove away in a Bentley convertible on the way to.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.